Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pettigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, folks, earlier this week, you remember that we reported on DEI inside medical schools, diversity, equity, and inclusion over at Duke Medical School's surgical teams that are being infused with DEI principles, medical schools that are teaching wokeness as opposed to, you know, actual medicine. And we asked you for tips, and so we have received those tips. We are now breaking news about internal emails from UCLA's medical school, which is one of the best in the country. My wife went to UCLA Medical School. It's a great medical school. But if you want to understand how DEI works at medical schools, you have to see these emails. So these emails come from a mandatory class. It is called Structural Racism and Health Equity. In Structural Racism and Health Equity, UCLA medical students are told to read about wars of indigenous resistance in which Native Americans killed thousands of white people to imagine what liberation could look like. This is legitimately what is being taught at medical schools like UCLA. You have to be inculcated into the cult of wokeness in order to actually achieve that which you seek to achieve, which, of course, is the DEI principle. Meanwhile, students are also taught about blackness and indigeneity and, quote, how we can imagine the world in the aftermath of settler colonialism and white supremacy. And students are also told that for further recommended reading, they should read an article titled Decolonization is Not a Metaphor, which, again, when people say decolonization is not a metaphor, what they mean is that they are excusing actual violence. Imagine a world in the aftermath of settler colonialism and white supremacy, by the way, means eviscerating all the social structures. Because what the left means when they say settler colonialism is literally anything the West has done. And when they mean white supremacy, they don't mean white people believing they are superior to black people. They just mean all the structures of society, which they believe are inherently racist. The emails from this first-year class over at UCLA Medical School also reveal that students are encouraged to listen to a podcast titled Indigene, which covers an array of unscientific garbage, including people who identify as quote-unquote two-spirit and Wimixn, right? Because you can't say women because it includes men, so it's W-O-M-X-N, which is not even pronounceable. So what exactly makes this not just recommended but mandatory classwork for med students? How exactly does this mean that these are going to be better medical professionals? The answer is it doesn't. It inculcates into them a set of values, and that set of values is then supposed to be carried forward into the practice of medicine. You're supposed to presumably value certain patients more highly than others. You're supposed to treat your patients differently based on race because, after all, you are fighting white supremacy and settler colonialism. These materials aren't just irrelevant. They are actually dangerous because, again, the only thing you should be taught in medical school is how to do the medicining. You should not be taught about why various types of intersectional populations are more valuable than others. Because it turns out that the health recommendation for diabetes should be the same across the board. It should not depend on the quote-unquote history of structural racism. You shouldn't have to pull your punches because you're afraid of offending somebody when the proper medical diagnosis of an issue requires that diagnosis. The only way to actually stop all of this is, of course, to expose it. So that is what we have been doing. Again, folks, if you have any sort of information, newsworthy information you'd like to share, go to tips.dailywire.com and go check them out right now and send us whatever tips you have, and we may report it on the show. Okay, meanwhile, yesterday, the big news of the day is that Donald Trump and Joe Biden had dueling trips down to the border. And this is about as bad press as you can have if you are Joe Biden. This is your most vulnerable issue. A According to the latest polling data, 28% of Americans say immigration is now their top issue. And on that issue, Joe Biden ranks in the low 30s. He's 20 points underwater against Donald Trump on this issue, maybe 30, according to certain polls. And so he heads down to the border at the exact same time that Trump is on the border, which is always going to go poorly for him. This, of course, comes at the same exact time that polling is showing him trailing Donald Trump in a wide variety of battleground states. Brand new Bloomberg News Morning Consult swing state voter survey published on Thursday shows Trump is ahead of Biden in Arizona 49-43, in Georgia 49-43, in Michigan 46-44, in Nevada 48-42, in North Carolina 50-41, in Pennsylvania 49-43, and in Wisconsin 46-42. Those are devastatingly terrible numbers. The closest state there is Michigan, which of course is, as we'll discuss, why Joe Biden is now pandering to the Hamas fans in Dearborn. It should be pointed out, by the way, that when it comes to Michigan, the exaggerated tale of how Joe Biden, if he appeals to the Hamasniks, will win Michigan is not true. When people say that 100,000 people voted uncommitted in the state of Michigan, that is about 13% of the number of people who voted in the Michigan Democratic primary. When Barack Obama in 2012 ran, about 10% of people in the Democratic primary voted uncommitted. And if you go and look at Dearborn, Michigan, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people total voted uncommitted in Dearborn, Michigan, which was supposed to be the place where Joe Biden was going to just absolutely get shellacked by the Arab American population that tends to be disproportionately pro-Hamas. In reality, a lot of people are voting uncommitted against Joe Biden, not because of the Hamas war. They're voting against Joe Biden or voting uncommitted because they don't think he's a very good president. In any case, the 45th president, Donald Trump, according to the New York Post, beats out Biden in a five-way ballot test. Trump is 43, Biden 37. RFK gets 9%. Cornel West and Green Party candidate Jill Stein get 1% each. And in a head-to-head, Trump is ahead further. A large part of this is because people think that Joe Biden is not just incompetent. They think that he is senile. And that is because he is both incompetent as well as senile. According to the Washington Post, Biden and Trump headed to different parts of the border. They visited separate Texas border towns. So President Biden went to Brownsville, Texas, which is a place where the immigration problem has largely been brought under control. Meanwhile, Donald Trump went to Eagle Pass, which, of course, is where immigration has not been brought under control. Joe Biden didn't go to Eagle Pass because it would look really ugly for him. It would actually be quite hideous if he went to Eagle Pass. And then in the background, you just see illegal immigrants rushing across the border, shouting Joe Biden's name. That would probably be a bad look for him. So he didn't go to Eagle Pass. None of them went to the border in Arizona, where we went, which is where you're actually seeing most of the fentanyl trafficking happening right now. All this also comes amidst Joe Biden's White House referring to illegal immigrants as newcomers. I'm not kidding you. This is a thing that they did. There's a White House fact sheet that was put forward on the Senate bill that includes some language with regards to the border. And here's what the White House says, quote, the bill includes $1.4 billion for cities and states who are providing critical services to newcomers and would expedite work permits for people who are in the country and qualify. They keep using the word newcomers as opposed to illegal immigrants. How warm do you think Americans are toward that proposal? Seriously, that these are just newcomers as opposed to people who are illegally entering the country. How many people believe it when Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, says that no executive action Joe Biden can take would fix the border crisis? We know for a fact there are significant executive actions that Joe Biden took as soon as he took office to reverse what Donald Trump had done on the border itself. Here's Alejandro Mayorkas, however, protesting that actually, Joe Biden can't do enough. There's nothing he can do on the border via executive action, despite the fact that Donald Trump did.
There are no executive actions that the president can take to reduce the large number of migrants that are coming to the U.S.-Mexico border that we saw in 2023 and continue this year.
The fact of the matter is that the only enduring solution is legislation. Congress needs to act. We have a bipartisan piece of legislation that three senators worked on intensely for a number of months. I was very privileged to be at the table to provide technical and operational expertise. The administration was represented at the table. We need Congress to act.
Nobody actually believes that they need Congress to act. Again, Donald Trump did not need Congress to act. So what did Joe Biden actually do when he got down to the border? Well, first, he staggered around a lot. And the video of Joe Biden just looks terrible. It looks as though members of Border Patrol are escorting an Alzheimer patient on a walkabout. That's what it looks like. He can barely stagger. I mean, this just looks it looks awful. The President of the United States he is not physically capable of this job. I mean, look at this. It's sad to watch. He's effectively dragging his feet. You're afraid he's going to slip on the gravel and fall over. He can hardly walk more than a few steps. This is a sort of commanding image that you want to be demonstrating at America's southern border, which is wide open to the drug cartels. And make no mistake, Joe Biden's policies have fomented the designs of the drug cartels. Again, go check out the first episode of our series, Divided States of Biden, over at Daily Wire, and you will see that Joe Biden has left that southern border wide open, and he's basically acting at the behest of the drug cartels at this point. The drug cartels are rushing illegal immigrants to certain parts of the border so as to redirect border patrol from other parts of the border, and then once those parts of the border are left unoccupied, that is when the drug cartels rush across all the guys with the backpacks filled with fentanyl. That's what's actually happening at the border. And so seeing a staggering, doddering old man barely holding himself upright around the border is not exactly a good look. Then Joe Biden tries to blame Republicans for not putting together a bipartisan consensus on immigration. There is a bipartisan consensus. Close the border. Just do it. No one's stopping you, dude. But here is Joe Biden trying to blame Donald Trump. It is not going to work.
I understand my predecessor's legal pass today. So here's what I would say to Mr. Trump. Instead of playing politics with this issue, instead of telling members of Congress to block this legislation, join me, or I'll join you in telling the Congress to pass this bipartisan border security bill. We can do it together. You know and I know it's the toughest, most efficient, most effective border security bill this country has ever seen. So instead of playing politics with the issue, why don't we just get together and get it done?
Okay, except for the fact that you could do it yourself. Your own administration has floated trial balloons about returning to remain in Mexico via executive action. This is a winning issue for Donald Trump, which is why Joe Biden went down to the border and actively humiliated himself further. I truly think, you know, people ask, who exactly is running the Biden White House? Who's running the Biden campaign? Given the absolute incompetence of this campaign, the answer is Joe Biden. This is a massive PR boo-boo for Joe Biden. So just a couple of weeks ago, he committed another massive PR boo-boo. He had the prosecutor, the special prosecutor who was looking into his mishandling of classified information, basically say that he's a senile dotard, and he immediately rushed to the microphones to prove it. And he held a late-night press conference. By late night, I mean it was like 7:30 at night, but for him that's late night, because that's well after the Denny's early bird special is available. And he's normally tucked into bed by that point. He does a press conference trying to demonstrate his mental acuity, and in the process proceeds to call the president of Egypt the president of Mexico, and forget where exactly his son got his rosary. The only person who made that call was Joe Biden. So who made the call to send Joe Biden down to the border to dodder around and totter around on a gravel road and then blame Donald Trump? It's only got to be Biden. It's got to be Biden himself. Because you know what would make sense? If you were going to go down to the border and announce strong action on the border, then it makes sense to go to the border. If you're going to go there and just look at things, it makes no sense at all. You look not only like a do-nothing, it looks like you're ignoring the waves of illegal immigration that have crippled the country for the last several years. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first, I've been talking about my Helix mattress for years. I've had my Helix for, I don't know, almost a decade, and it is fantastic. It is the gift that keeps on giving. It may be the only thing keeping me upright at this point is the sleep I get on my Helix sleep mattress. Helix is now introducing their newest, most high-end collection, the Helix Elite. Helix Elite harnesses years of extensive mattress expertise to offer a truly elevated sleep experience. That Helix Elite collection includes 6 different mattress models, each tailored for specific sleep positions and firmness preferences. Head on over to helixsleep.com/ben. Check out the new collection today. If you're nervous about buying a mattress online, you don't have to be, because Helix has a sleep quiz that matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Because why would you buy a mattress made for somebody else? And I took that Helix quiz that matched me with a firm but breathable mattress, which is exactly what I needed. Why don't you get a mattress made for you? Go to helixsleep.com/ben. Take that 2-minute sleep quiz. Find the perfect mattress for your own body and sleep type. Mattress will come directly to your door for free. Plus, Helix has a 10-year warranty. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Got nothing to lose. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders, plus 2 free pillows for my listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/ben. Use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It's not going to last long. Again, that's HELIXPARTNER20 at helixsleep.com/ben. Already coming up, Donald Trump was also on the border. His message resonated a lot more than Joe Biden's. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474, for your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet. Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Now, this is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes,
people, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden went down to the border, made a fool of himself. Donald Trump went down to the border and pointed out that Joe Biden was making a fool of himself. I'll leave it to you to decide who is closer to the median American on this particular issue, Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Here is Donald Trump talking about this being a Joe Biden invasion. He is correct.
This is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years. I call him Crooked Joe because he's crooked. He's a terrible president, the worst president our country's ever had. Probably the most incompetent president we've ever had. But it's allowing thousands and thousands of people to come in from China, Iran, Yemen, the Congo, Syria, and a lot of other nations. Many nations are not very friendly to us. He's transported the entire columns of fighting-aged men, and they're all at a certain age. And you look at them and say, they look like warriors to me. Something's going on that's bad. Now the United States is being overrun by the Biden migrant crime. It's a new form of vicious violation to our country. It's migrant crime. We call it Biden migrant crime, but that's a little bit long, so we'll just leave it. But every time you hear the term migrant crime, you know where that comes from, allowing thousands and thousands and actually millions and millions of people to come. Could be 15 million, could be 18 million by the time he gets out of office.
Okay. Well, it may not be 15 or 18, but it's certainly 7 to 10. And then Trump put forward a pretty obvious proposition, which is we've seen a wide variety of crimes committed by illegal immigrants over the course of last week alone. We've reported them here on the show. And here is Donald Trump pointing out Joe Biden does, in fact, have blood on his hands. And there's no other way to put that. When you decide to leave the border wide open, when you decide you're going to change asylum policy so that in order for you to be released in the country, all you have to do is say, I fear to go home, you're going to end up with an awful lot of people who commit crimes in the country. And again, there are a lot of arguments as to whether illegal immigration increases the crime rate or whether illegal immigrants have a lower crime rate than certain subsections of the American population. That's irrelevant. Zero crime should be committed by people who are here illegally because they shouldn't be here in the first place. Here is Donald Trump going off on Biden.
Last year, a sadistic illegal alien criminal who was released into our country by Joe Biden was arrested for raping an 11-year-old girl and strangling her to death in Pasadena, Texas. And shortly before she was murdered, she texted her father that someone was knocking at the door. He arrived home from work and found his daughter's body stuffed in a laundry basket underneath the bed. Horrible. Crooked Joe is the blood of countless innocent victims. It's so many stories to tell, so many horrible stories. 3 years ago, we had the most secure border in history. Brandon was saying it. The general was saying it. We had the most secure border, and people weren't coming because they knew they weren't going to get in.
He is right. He is right. This is a major fail by Joe Biden. He looks feeble, looks out of touch, looks like he's not taking the action that he should. All of this is a problem for him. Now, the media are simultaneously trying to put to bed the border issue by blaming it on both sides and then trying to put to bed the Hunter Biden corruption issue. That issue is not going to go away. So the media have been trying to play up the fact that the FBI is prosecuting an unnamed source who was quoted by the FBI at one point with regard to the idea that Joe Biden was paid directly $5 million and so was Hunter Biden. Okay, that was a very small part of the Hunter Biden case, and it was late breaking. We've been reporting on the Hunter Biden corruption allegations for legitimately several years by the time that report from the FBI was even pushed out into the public by the House Oversight Committee. With that said, Hunter Biden testified behind closed doors the other day, and the media basically declared that the Hunter Biden corruption story is now over. Because Hunter Biden had testified that his father had nothing to do with it. And really, it was all because he was high or drunk. None of this passes the smell test. So, for example, according to the New York Post, first son Hunter Biden claims in congressional testimony on Wednesday that he was high or drunk when he wrote to a Chinese associate in 2017 that he was, quote, sitting here with my father shortly before the transfer of $5.1 million into Biden family-linked accounts. A readout of the 54-year-old first son's closed-door impeachment inquiry deposition was provided to numerous news outlets on Wednesday evening, citing Hunter's claim that Biden had nothing to do with the shakedown of the Chinese state-linked CEFC China Energy. You recall this story. This is a story in which Hunter Biden was on WhatsApp with a person named Zhao and demanded a bunch of money and said, I'm sitting right here next to my father, and if you don't give us what we want, my father is going to basically put the screws to you publicly. According to the readout, it said that Hunter admitted he was high or drunk when he sent the sitting here with my father WhatsApp message, and he says he sent it to the wrong recipient and is now embarrassed by the message. The same source said that Hunter confirmed his dad was not sitting next to him. Well, there's only one problem. Why exactly would you believe Hunter Biden? So basically, the case Hunter Biden is now making is that you have contemporaneous WhatsApp messages showing I was at my dad's house at the time and my dad was home. And then magic, he says that he sent the text, the WhatsApp, to the wrong Zhao. It didn't actually go to the guy who ran CEFC, some random guy named Zhao. Weird then that the next day, $5 million showed up from Zhao in his account. What a coinkydink. Or alternatively, this sounds like a giant lie. Since Hunter appeared under a subpoena, the testimony technically counted as a more sensitive definition rather than a typical transcribed interview. That WhatsApp missive implicating Joe Biden was provided to Congress last year by the IRS case agent Joseph Ziegler. Again, the most damning stuff with regard to Hunter Biden is all stuff that Hunter Biden himself said. Forget about what people said about Hunter Biden, Tony Bobulinski's of the world. The most damaging stuff that is said in the Hunter Biden case was all said by Hunter Biden. The WhatsApp message saying, my daddy is sitting right here with me, give me what I want. The text to his own daughter saying, I've been paying this family's bills for half the family's bills for all of my life. Dad just takes my money. Like, all that stuff is incredibly damaging, and it's directly from him. Again, the fact that the media are trying to suggest that basically the case is now over, yeah, no, it's not. And even if it doesn't end in Joe Biden's impeachment, the widespread perception of the Biden family, which is correct, is that it is deeply corrupt. Because obviously it is. Every single person with the last name Biden has been making money off Joe being in politics for legitimately decades at this point. Since the 1970s, for half a century, they've been making money off Joe in politics. And everyone knows it. Already coming up, the Republicans actually avoided jumping on a rake, but it does put Speaker Johnson in a difficult position. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, Northern California. This is Roland from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
Redding, when was the last time you experienced Black Bear Diner? Entrepreneur Magazine recently recognized this hometown diner as a top-growing national restaurant. Why? Because there's always plenty for your paws, with delicious home-style options that deliver choice, value, variety, and a cozy way to make memories and celebrate occasions. Come on in and remind yourself what guests all over the country are discovering.
Black Bear Diner.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke. And we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Airtime Media.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Speaker Johnson is now in a difficult position, but I do think he made the right move in avoiding a government shutdown, politically speaking. The Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he did sign off on a temporary spending bill to prevent a partial government shutdown this weekend. Now, a bunch of people on the right are very upset with Mike Johnson because they believe that every time there is a spending bill, that the power of the purse lies with the House has an obligation not to abuse the power of the purse, and that basically that means that any time the Republican House has the chance, they should use the leverage in order to lower the spending. The point that I'm making is that on principle, I agree with that. And when it comes to the pure politics of the situation, that's a very bad idea. Those two things can simultaneously coexist. In the best of all possible worlds, we would run every appropriations bill through the appropriations process. In the best of all possible worlds, Republican houses would initiate only the kinds of spending that are constitutional, which would cut government spending by approximately 98%. With all of that said, if the Republicans were to jump on the giant rake right in front of them and shut down the government right now, as Joe Biden is proceeding along the course of election loss, that would be political malpractice. The reality is you can only achieve large-scale change in American government when you have unified control of the government. The days of bipartisan cooperation on things like budget balancing are well over. That is not going to happen anymore. The Clintonian era in which Democrats and Republicans, after the 96 election, came together to do welfare reform, that is a thing that is not going to happen again. Which means that Republicans are going to have to trade some short-term loss for some long-term gain if they hope to win back political power. Mike Johnson knows that. This is the first time that Mike Johnson actually, I think, is using his political common sense here rather than being held captive by the Republican caucus. So here's Mike Johnson yesterday announcing that they were not going to shut down the government.
How do you respond to criticisms from some of your members saying that they've been left in the dark and haven't been seeing a transparent process when it comes to government funding?
Yeah, so look, the appropriations process is ugly. Democracy is ugly. This is the way it works every year, always has, except that we've instituted some new innovations. We broke the omnibus fever, right? That's how Washington has been run for years. We're trying to turn the aircraft carrier back to real budgeting and spending reform. This was an important thing, to break it up into smaller pieces.
Okay, now, the problem for Mike Johnson that is going to crop up going forward is that the process that he used here, he could theoretically also use with regard to any sort of aid package for Ukraine or Israel. And that's what the Biden administration immediately is jumping on. So the approval in the House for some sort of big aid package on the foreign front is very large. You'd get at least 300, probably 350 votes in the House for some sort of aid package at this point. And Johnson has been holding it back, presumably because he's afraid that he's going to lose his speakership position. Yesterday, however, he did bring forward a proposal that 99 Republicans voted against. Most Republicans did back the speaker, but that was also true of Kevin McCarthy. When Kevin McCarthy was passing bills, he was doing it with the majority of the Republicans, but he was doing it with some Democrats as well. And that apparently was enough of a sin for Matt Gaetz and others to try to oust him. So the question is, where is that wing of the party now? Representative Andy Biggs, who's one of these people, voted against the deadline extensions and said that Johnson hasn't worked hard enough to cut spending and that he squandered House Republicans' sole source of leverage by being unwilling to shut down the government. But in reality, again, at some point, the Speaker of the House is going to have to actually govern, or he's not going to be the Speaker very long. He's going to be the minority leader very soon. And meanwhile, Joe Biden, again, is operating under the bizarre proposition that if he caves to Hamas, somehow this will be better for his presidency. It's a very weird proposition. You know what Americans don't like very much? When American allies lose. They do not like when America basically fosters terrorist victory. You know how we know that? Because they did in Afghanistan. Joe Biden did that in Afghanistan, and his approval rating absolutely tanked and has never recovered. The media may be disquieted by the ugliness of war, but you know what the American people really, really don't like? When America's enemies, people who hate America, win. Americans really don't like that very much. We don't like the war in our faces all the time. But there's something we like even less, and that is losing wars. I understand that this has become the way that the media have basically controlled American foreign policy for decades at this point. Right? Pretty much every American foreign policy has been an initiation of force or support of force by an ally. And then the media immediately attempt to do the, well, war is very ugly. It's very ugly. Well, here's the problem. America's enemies know that war is ugly, and they know that Americans care that war is ugly. And so they attempt to leverage that. That's exactly what Hamas is doing right now. According to the Wall Street Journal, senior members of Hamas's leadership in exile met in Doha, Qatar earlier this month amid concerns as fighters were getting mauled by the Israeli offensive in the Gaza Strip. Enemy troops were killing dozens of militants each day as they methodically overran Hamas strongholds. Then a courier arrived with a message from Yahya Sinwar, the head of Hamas in Gaza, saying, in effect, don't worry, we have the Israelis right where we want them. Hamas's fighters, the Al-Qassam brigades, were doing fine, the upbeat message said. The militants were ready for Israel's expected assault on Rafah, a city on Gaza's southern edge. High civilian casualties would add to the worldwide pressure on Israel to stop the war, Sinwar's message said, according to people informed about the meeting. And this is how Hamas wins. The way Hamas wins is not by winning. At least 12,000 members of Hamas, direct militant members of Hamas, have been killed, along with a bunch of fellow travelers. Remember, when you read statistics about women and children who are killed in Gaza, many of the people who are considered children, under a normal definition of child, meaning under 18 years old, many of those are 16-year-old boys who are fellow travelers with Hamas, for example. We don't actually have straight statistics from inside the Gaza Strip, because Hamas is providing them, and Hamas lies all the time. If you really believe that Hamas is going around counting bodies and identifying who has died, they're making it up on the spot. Legitimately making it up. We know this for a fact. Which is why it is so pathetic that, for example, the Biden administration continues to mimic the propaganda put out by Hamas. That's what Hamas wants. Hamas has only one plan to survive this. Get enough Palestinian civilians killed that they can then get the international community to pressure Israel into preserving Hamas. That is all they want out of life right now. And bizarrely, that's exactly what members of the Biden administration and the Europeans are doing. They are now suggesting that Israel basically ought to leave Hamas in place. Because if they don't leave Hamas in place, then too many people will die because of Hamas. Okay, that is a formula for never winning a war again for anyone who's in the West. I mean, you've basically just given them the upper hand. The more evil and brutal they are toward their own civilians, the more you're going to leave them alone, seems to be the prevailing message here. Meanwhile, by the way, Israel is supposed to ignore the fact that its own citizens are still being killed. So in other words, when Hamas and its allies and the Palestinian Authority murder Israelis, the world does not care one iota, like at all. So yesterday, in a story that no one covered, two Israeli citizens were murdered at a gas station in Eili, which is in the West Bank. A Palestinian terrorist opened fire at the gas station. This would be the second time in a year that this gas station has been targeted by terrorists. And as it turns out, one of the people who committed the attack is a member of the Palestinian Authority police. Now, the Palestinian Authority, those are the people that the Biden administration would like to run the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian Authority. So the Biden administration's plan in the Middle East is to hand over power to the Palestinian Authority, which literally pays people who murder Jews, pays their families, and preserve Hamas, presumably in order so that Joe Biden can win Michigan or something. And again, let's be very clear about this. There is no party on the other side of the aisle from Israel that is willing to make anything like a lasting peace. It does not exist. For example, here is a senior Palestinian official just this week talking about how Hitler was right. This is very typical rhetoric in the Palestinian Authority. He says several European, American, and Arab officials have said that an Israeli attack against the Palestinians in Rafah would constitute a no lesser crime than the Holocaust. I would like to ask, why did the Holocaust happen? I am not a fan of Hitler, but when Hitler perpetrated the Holocaust, he had obvious reasons. The Jews and global Zionism were offered various places in the world. In Argentina, in Uganda, in the north of Sinai, in the south of Iraq. But they chose Palestine for other reasons that we may mention later. They planned to take control of Germany. This is the Palestinian Authority, guys. The Jews planned to take control of Germany, so Hitler had to kill them, obviously. These are the people that Joe Biden would like to leave in place and give power. So all of this has been exacerbated by an incident that happened inside the Gaza Strip. And there are two accounts of this incident. One is the account that is being perpetrated by Hamas and Al Jazeera, which is run by Qatar, which, of course, works very closely with the leadership of Hamas and supports Hamas. And the other is the IDF. One account is backed by zero footage, but a lot of anecdotal accounts. And one is backed by actual drone footage. So the account that is being pushed out there by the Palestinian Authority, by Hamas, by the Europeans, is an account in which Israeli forces open fire on a bunch of people who are trying to get aid, humanitarian aid that the Israelis themselves are carrying in there. Israel has created a humanitarian corridor so aid can get in. Hamas, by the way, has been hijacking all of this aid and stealing all of it and then killing people who are attempting to stop them in that effort, which has created a massive poverty and hunger situation in the Gaza Strip, despite the fact that Israel is placing literally no limits on food aid going in. There's no one to distribute it is the problem, because Hamas kills people and then takes the food. Not only that, the Israelis have been putting their own troops in harm's way in order to try to provide humanitarian aid. Oh, by the way, all of this ends literally today if Hamas surrenders and gives up the 134 hostages it is currently holding. Everyone just pretends that that never happened, or that Hamas doesn't exist anymore or something. So the White House is still saying they don't know what happened, and no one knows what except for the drone footage. And they called it tremendously alarming. So what happened? Israel shared drone footage of troops' attempts to disperse a swelling mob, denying responsibility for the mass deaths amid international criticism of its Gaza offensive. Hamas has blamed the IDF for reported 104 deaths in the early morning hours. Now, we still don't know how many people have actually died at this point because Hamas lies about its stats. The military said that fewer than 10 of the casualties were a result of Israeli fire, and they released new details Thursday night, claiming soldiers had fired warning shots and attempted to ease the crush of people looting a convoy of aid trucks that entered northern Gaza early on Thursday morning. The violence was quickly condemned by Arab countries, and Joe Biden held talks on the incident with the leaders of Egypt and Qatar. And then both the White House and State Department expressed horror over what occurred and indicated they would demand answers from Israel. Now, again, nobody ever demands answers from Hamas on, like, why they are looting aid trucks. And nobody ever demands, apparently, that Hamas just surrender. They're currently holding negotiations with Hamas. So that forced the IDF to publish a drone video showing thousands of people swarming around the aid trucks as they reached the area in northern Gaza. The vehicles tried to push forward very slowly. And then apparently what happened is as they tried to back away, many Gazans decided that they were going to rush the soldiers and a tank at an IDF checkpoint. That was after they had already rushed the last truck in the convoy further south. That's when some Israeli soldiers opened fire on people who were literally rushing a border checkpoint and a tank. They didn't open fire on the crowd. You can see from the drone footage they're not opening fire on the crowd. Look at the size of this crowd. Okay, here are the aid trucks. For those who can't see, it looks like World War Z. I mean, this is just thousands of people who are crowding these aid trucks trying to get food. Presumably, the Israelis at this point, if they wanted to massacre people, seriously could have. There is no fire. You can see, I mean, every aid truck is being crowded by thousands of people, thousands. And then Israel is trying to slowly back away. They have tanks. Okay, they have, again, overwhelming firepower. Most of the people who were injured and killed were killed in this crush, because there's a mob rush on the aid trucks. And then apparently they fired some warning shots to try to disperse the crowd some so that the aid trucks could move. And then some people rushed the Israeli soldiers, some of the Israeli soldiers further up, and some people were killed. This, of course, ended with a bunch of people in the UN and the European Union claiming that this is all Israel's fault, which is amazing because it turns out that it's all Hamas's fault. Again, Hamas started a war. When you rush across another nation's borders and kill 1,200 of its citizens and take 240 hostage, that tends to lead to war. We're going to get to more of this in just one second. First, I wanted to let you know, if you really enjoy The Ben Shapiro Show and The Daily Wire, we have a bunch of other shows over at DailyWire.com. Let Michael Knowles tell you about his show.
Hey, Michael Knowles here. As you might expect, I am the host of The Michael Knowles Show. Conservative pessimists say the world can't get any worse. Conservative optimists say it certainly can. Luckily, there is hope and a whole lot of fun to be had at the left's expense. Come check out The Michael Knowles Show at The Daily Wire. You can listen to the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube, or Facebook. It is all over the place. You can watch the full show ad-free on DailyWire.com. And don't miss exclusive videos we make on my YouTube channel, such as my woke commercial reviews and the Chaz Funniest Home Videos. We break down everything from Drag Queen Story Hour to the Paris Climate Agreement. So come on over and check out The Michael Knowles Show wherever you get your podcasts, every Monday through Friday. See you there.
You know, I pretend that I really hate Michael, but it really, it's not hatred. It's more just a strong and intense dislike. You heard it here first, gang. Make sure to check out The Michael Knowles Show. All right, coming up, more on this situation in Israel. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Airtime Media.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the situation in Israel continues to be very, very controversial. According to the IDF spokesperson, he said this morning, the IDF coordinated a convoy of 38 trucks to provide additional humanitarian assistance to the residents of northern Gaza. This humanitarian aid came from Egypt, went through a security screening at the Kerem Shalom humanitarian crossing in Israel, and then entered Gaza for distribution by private contractors. As these vital humanitarian supplies made their way toward Gazans in need, thousands of Gazans rushed the trucks. Some began violently pushing and trampling other Gazans to death, looting the humanitarian supplies. Here are the facts. At 4:40 a.m., the first aid truck in the humanitarian convoy started making its way through the humanitarian corridor that we were securing. Our tanks were there to secure the humanitarian corridor for the aid convoy. Our UAVs were there in the air to give our forces a clear picture from above. At 4:45 a.m., a mob ambushed the aid trucks, bringing the convoy to a halt. In this video, the tanks that were there to secure the convoy saw the Gazans being trampled and cautiously tried to disperse the mob with a few warning shots. When the hundreds became thousands and things got out of hand, the tank commander decided to retreat to avoid harm to the thousands of Gazans that were there. You can see how cautious they were when they were backing up. There's video to back all of this. There's drone footage of all of this. They were backing up securely, risking their own lives, not shooting at the mob. No IDF strike was conducted toward the aid convoy. On the contrary, the IDF was there carrying out a humanitarian aid operation to secure the humanitarian corridor to allow the aid convoy to reach its distribution point so the humanitarian aid could reach Gazan civilians in the north who are in need. Then, of course, Saudi, Egypt, Jordan, they all accuse Israel of targeting civilians in the incident, of course. And so did Turkey, which, of course, backs Hamas. And France, which can always be counted on to take the anti-Semitic position, they said the fire by Israeli soldiers against civilians trying to access food is unjustifiable. Spain, also the most anti-Semitic country in Europe, they said something similar. You had, of course, Gustavo Petro, who's the left-wing president of Colombia, announcing that his government was suspending purchases of weapons from Israel. So again, this is a blood libel. The evidence suggests that Israel did not, in fact, open fire into a crowd of civilians. If they had, it would all be on that UAV footage, which it is not. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And this is why, again, members of the media are looking for moral equivalence beyond anything else, like really looking for it. So CNN properly reported, for example, that this was a chaotic incident, which it was, okay, because nobody actually knows what happened yet. Even CNN's headline here is misleading. They say at least 100 killed and 700 injured in chaotic incident where IDF opened fire as people waited for food in Gaza, Palestinian officials say. So, again, that even that headline is misleading. But that wasn't good enough for John Stewart, who's constantly in search of moral equivalence. He said, note to CNN, a chaotic incident is college kids storming a basketball court, not a massacre at a food line. Again, massacre at a food line assumes facts, not in evidence. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And then Joe Biden, of course, comes forward and says, this incident is going to complicate the negotiations. You know what's complicated the negotiations? Hamas has rejected every ceasefire deal presented to it because they insist that Israel leave them alone and leave them in power. This doddering old fool, when he's not eating ice cream and talking about ceasefires that are unachievable, is not eating ice cream and talking about ceasefires that are unachievable. The deadly Gaza incident complicates hostage negotiations. That incident happens because Hamas is starving the people of Gaza. They started a war. They don't care whether those people live or die. In fact, that's wrong. They want them to die. But here is Joe Biden doing the dirty work.
Are you worried about
what
complicates the negotiation?
I know.
It's gonna complicate the negotiation. And lending moral credibility to Hamas, to terrorists, this is not a good look. You want to lose an election, this is a really good way to do it. He thinks he's going to win 5,000 votes in Dearborn. He's going to lose hundreds of thousands of votes across the country based on his absolute cowardice on issues like this one. And by the way, he's still claiming that he's hopeful about the ceasefire, which is, again, first rule of negotiations. Don't go out and publicly talk about the negotiations, you doofus. Here he was.
Colonel, I was on the telephone with the people in the region. I'm still probably not by Monday, but I'm hopeful.
Probably not by Monday, but he's hopeful. Based on what? Based on what? The reality is that because he's talking about the negotiations publicly, he is giving every piece of leverage to Hamas. He's saying, I want the ceasefire so bad I can taste it. And Hamas is like, well, what are you going to give us for it? What do we get for it? Now, the reality is what's actually happening for Hamas and Hezbollah, which are both run by Iran, both Hamas and Hezbollah, are hoping that Israel does not go into Rafah. If Israel goes into Rafah, it's going to finish off Hamas. Yahya Sinwar will likely be captured or killed. When that happens, Israel presumably will turn north. Hezbollah is threatening that if Israel goes into Rafah, that Hezbollah is going to open a northern front. Joe Biden wants to prevent all of that, not because it would drag America into war. It wouldn't. Israel would just go hog wild on Hezbollah in the north is what would happen. Biden wants to prevent that because, again, he's afraid he's going to lose Michigan. That's all this is about. If Joe Biden were secure in his knowledge that the Arab Americans in Michigan were going to vote for him, he would not care. Okay, that is the reality because, again, it is actually in America's interest for terrorist groups to get their guts stomped out. Terrorist groups are a threat to America and its allies. It would be very much in America's interest to watch Israel just walk right over Hezbollah. Again, no American troops involved. No serious American cash committed. Instead, Joe Biden is trying to have it both ways. He knows inherently that if Hamas remains in place, it's going to be bad for him politically. But again, he's still trying to pretend that there's a moral equivalence so as to achieve an off-ramp that will amount to many, many more people killed over the coming years. And he's got his members of administration doing this too. Lloyd Austin, the garbage Secretary of Defense, he's still citing Hamas casualty figures.
Mr. Secretary, about how many Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
Okay, those are Hamas casualty figures. By the way, the numbers that he is using right there, even Hamas doesn't claim that. At least 12,000 military age males have been killed. Cowardice does not win you elections, and it does not win you wars. What it does win you is a seat in the old age home, thinking about why you're no longer president after one term. That's what it actually wins you. Okay, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Massive amount of people lined up to pay respects before the funeral of a nursing student who police say was murdered by an illegal immigrant on the University of Georgia campus.
A funeral service for 22-year-old Lakin Riley was held Friday at Woodstock City Church in suburban Cherokee County, north of Atlanta. It was not open to the media. People stood in a long line outside a church auditorium before the service to pay respects to Riley's family. Riley was enrolled in the Augusta Medical College's nursing program in Athens when she was found dead February 22nd on the neighboring UGA campus. She had gone jogging and didn't return home. Police have charged an illegal immigrant suspect with murder in her death. Keith Peters reporting.
Texas wildfires continue to burn.
The Smokehouse Creek fire, which began Monday, may have destroyed as many as 500 structures in the Texas panhandle. That's according to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who says homeowners there have nothing left.
When you look at the damages that have occurred here, it's just gone, completely gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground.
The fire has burned about 1,700 square miles and killed two people, and the weather is not helping. The National Weather Service forecast for the weekend warns of strong winds, relatively low humidity, and dry conditions. I'm Shirley Adler.
Meanwhile, it's snowing in the Sierras. Closing arguments are over in the Georgia hearing to determine whether the Fulton County DA should be disqualified from former President Trump's election case. Defendants argue that Fannie Willis needs to be removed due to her sexual relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. The judge says he will have a decision within 2 weeks' time. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial-free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
South Korea authorities raid the headquarters of the Korean Medical Association. This following a mass walkout by junior doctors. Karen Shamus has more on the story.
The raid was carried out in the offices of the Korean Medical Association in Seoul and other locations outside the capital. The association has accused the government of using intimidation tactics to force nearly 10,000 doctors back to work. They're protesting against government plans to sharply increase the number of medical school places. In South Korea, it's illegal for doctors to strike, and the authorities say those who fail to return to work by Thursday's deadline are now at risk of losing their licenses and face criminal prosecution.
Anheuser-Busch continues to see depressed sales here in the U.S. due to a decline in demand for Bud Light. News and analysis at townhall.com. An attempt to serve an eviction notice ends in tragedy outside Kansas City.
Police in Independence, Missouri say a Jackson County court worker, Drexel Mack, was trying to serve an eviction notice when he was fatally shot. Responding to a 911 call, two city police officers responded to help him and were also shot, one fatally.
They were met with gunfire.
Independence Police Chief Adam Dustman.
Officer Cody Allen served this community not once but twice as an Independence police officer. He is a hero.
The suspect sustained minor injuries and is in custody. Dustman said the second officer underwent surgery and is expected to recover. Audio courtesy KMBC. I'm Jennifer King.
Wisconsin Supreme Court has rejected a Democratic lawsuit seeking to throw out the battleground state's congressional maps. The court on Friday said it would not hear the case that was filed in January by a group of Democrats. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact. B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy, too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your Internet at one time, and that requires a great Internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your Internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So before we get to the big news of the day, I wanted to give you a quick update on the story that we reported earlier this week about DEI in medicine and surgery and many of the tapes that we showed you on this show with regard to Duke Medical School and people working at Duke talking about how diversity, equity, and inclusion should be top priorities as opposed to, you know, the merit of particular surgeons. Well, Duke still has not responded to any of this. We're still waiting comment from the Duke Medical School dean. We do know that some of the tapes were then removed, that some of the tapes that were up and had been put up presumably by an associated student group, that those tapes were taken down. But we have not heard anything after many requests for comment from the leadership of Duke. Members of Congress are calling for an investigation into everything that's happening at these medical schools, what's happening with regard to surgery. And we know this is just the tip of the iceberg, by the way. The prevalence of diversity, equity, and inclusion in every aspect of American life, including the most critical aspects where the only thing you care about is, you know, the competence of the person as opposed to their life experiences or the color of their skin. We know that we've uncovered just the tip of the iceberg. So we now have a tip line. If you have something we should look into, please send it our way ASAP. Put my name in the subject line. It'll get to my team immediately. Tips.dailywire.com. We'll get our investigative team on that immediately. Tips.dailywire.com. Okay, now on to the big news of the day. So the big news of the day is that Mitch McConnell has announced that in the fall he is going to step down from his position as GOP leader. That will be presumably before the election. McConnell announced his decision in the well of the Senate, and here's what he had to say.
To serve Kentucky in the Senate has been the honor of my life. To lead my Republican colleagues has been the highest privilege. But one of life's most underappreciated talents is to know when it's time to move on to life's next chapter. So I stand before you today, Mr. President, and my colleagues, to say this will be my last term as Republican leader of the Senate.
Okay, so the question, of course, is who replaces him? But the blowback on this has been kind of extraordinary on the right. People who are shouting about the evils of Mitch McConnell. Now, Mitch McConnell is one of the most effective Machiavellian political operators of my lifetime. I don't like a lot of the things that he passed, but to pretend that Mitch McConnell was not an effective operator is just false. The reason that there is a 6-3 Republican-appointed majority on the Supreme Court of the United States is Mitch McConnell. It's not Donald Trump. It's Mitch McConnell. Because Mitch McConnell is the person who actively said, we will not allow Merrick Garland to be appointed to the court. And then, of course, Trump got elected. This isn't to deprive Trump of all the credit. Trump gets a lot of the credit. But it was Mitch McConnell who made the decision that he was going to hold open that seat until after the election. And it was Mitch McConnell who made the decision that he was going to hold Democrats' feet to the fire to their own rules. It was Democrats who, in 2013, decided that they were going to use the nuclear option to ram through Barack Obama's judicial nominees. And it was Mitch McConnell warning them in 2013, if you do this, it'll come right back around and it'll hit you. He was right. Here's a younger Mitch McConnell, 2013.
The majority leader promised, he promised,
over and over again that he wouldn't break the rules of the Senate in order to change them. If you want to play games, set yet another precedent that you'll no doubt come to regret. Say to my friends on the other side of the aisle, you'll regret this, and you may regret it a lot sooner than you think.
Hey, so, Mitch McConnell was incredibly competent at his job. And again, this does go to what jobs are in the Senate, what they are in the House. There has been this mistaken assumption that the Senate Majority Leader or the House Speaker is the person who sets the Republican agenda. That person is a spokesperson for conservatism, and that if they don't hold true to conservative principle in every single thing that they do without compromise, then they are somehow betraying the cause. That is not the job of the House Speaker or the Senate Majority Leader. That is generally the job of a president. It might be the job of the head of the RNC. But the point of the House Majority Leader or the House Speaker or the Senate Majority Leader, anybody who's in a position to actually count votes, they actually have several jobs. So Mitch McConnell's job that he was very competent at was actually trying to pick people running for the Senate because he controlled how monies were dispersed to various senatorial candidates. And Mitch McConnell, it turns out, was much better at it than Donald Trump was. I mean, just as a point of fact, Mitch McConnell led Republicans to a very, very sizable Senate majority. And over the last couple of election cycles, selection of primary candidates that went against what Mitch McConnell was recommending did not end well for Republicans. That was job one of the Senate Majority Leader. Job two of the Senate Majority Leader is to raise a lot of money, which Mitch McConnell did. And job three, which is really job one, is to decide the rules and procedures by which legislation moves through the Senate and pick exactly how that legislation gets made. That means counting votes. It means back scratching. It means ugly politics, underside, the seamy side of politics, the stuff that nobody likes and nobody wants to see. If you are a popular Senate Majority Leader, it is likely because you are bad at the job. I mean, with the general public. Because popular Senate Majority Leaders are people who do have to make these Machiavellian decisions legitimately all the time. And that's how the sausage gets made. And the sausage getting made is really ugly. But you have a choice. Either the sausage gets made or it doesn't get made. And the reason that's relevant is because when it comes to replacing Mitch McConnell, the question becomes, who exactly is going to replace him? Is it going to be somebody who considers himself a philosophical purist, or is it going to be somebody who wants to make the sausage? Because the reality is that philosophical purism ends with minority status in the Senate of the United States. Just as it is very likely at this point that philosophical purism in the House may lead to a Republican minority in the House. It turns out that Americans just want the sausage. They don't want to see how it gets made. They're very not interested in the Machiavellian manipulations. They just want the thing done. And that's true of any job that we delegate power to in our lives. You don't care how the plumber fixes the drain. You just care that the drain gets fixed. And if he comes to you and he's like, but I am on a principled matter, I am not fixing the drain in this particular. I didn't hire you to do that. I hired you to fix the drain. And when it comes to what the Senate is there for, we can have arguments, and we do all day long on the show, about what legislation is good. Should you vote for it? Should you not? But if you neglect the part of the job that is the core of the job, counting votes, manipulations, back scratching, the ugly part of politics, then what you're going to end up with is somebody who says pretty words and does not achieve the things you need them to achieve, and then gets your party booted from majority status in the Senate of the United States. Purism is a wonderfully easy way of appealing to the public without actually benefiting your party in any serious way long term. Again, that's not to hold people's feet to the fire. That's our job, right? We're outside of government. In the end, it's the voters who are going to vote these people in. And it's the job of people like me to be curious in order to suggest what I think is the principle and then to explain how far our politicians are straying from the principle. But it is, in fact, the job of people like Mitch McConnell to try to get the most of the loaf that they can. And Mitch McConnell, I think, overall got a lot of that loaf. And again, that is with me being very critical of his stances on things like immigration and the border. If Mitch McConnell is replaced with somebody who is far less interested in making the sausage, or who is going to refuse to make the sausage at all in the name of political purism, then Republicans will just end up with no power. That's the reality. You can like it, you can dislike it, but that happens to be the reality. So there are three candidates who are largely seen as the possible leaders right now to replace McConnell. One is the Senate Minority Whip, John Thune, who is from South Dakota. He is sort of on the center left of the Republican caucus, John Thune. If you look at, for example, his Heritage Action Score. So Heritage Action Scores are sort of a decent proxy measure for how conservative a member votes. So, for example, the most conservative members of the Senate, people who get very high Heritage scores, would be people like Senator Cruz. Right? Senator Cruz has an 89% Heritage Action score. Senator Rand Paul has a 96% Heritage Action score. However, if you look at like Susan Collins has a Heritage Action score of 10%, which makes sense, right? They're trying to grade people on that spectrum. So Mitch McConnell, for what it is worth, had a Heritage Action score of about 43%. So that's kind of like halfway in the middle of the Republican caucus. And the reality is, that's not like the worst place for the Senate Majority Leader to be, because you do have to unify your caucus. I know it's an uncomfortable political truth that every party is a spectrum of views, and that it is the job of the Majority Leader in the Senate and the House Speaker to actually cobble together that coalition in order to move things that you want moved and get most of the loaf. Or, again, you can sit there and do nothing. McConnell sat kind of dead center of the Republican Party, positionally speaking. So he has like a 43% Heritage Action score. McConnell's Heritage Action score over his lifetime is 59%. The average Senate Republican has a Heritage Action score of 65%. So he's really dead center of the Republican caucus. The people who would theoretically replace him, and this is the problem with somebody, there's been, Rand Paul has been suggested, for example, as a possible Senate Majority Leader. Almost impossible to see how he gets the job. Also impossible to see how he cobbles together a coalition. Now, it may be that Senator Paul says, I don't want to make the sausage. There is a principled argument for not making the sausage. It just ends with Republicans in minority status. Again, I tend to agree with a lot of that from Rand Paul or from Senator Cruz, that the job of the Senate is not to pass legislation. The American public tend to disagree with that overall, and they don't tend to like Congresses where the sausage doesn't get made. In any case, the three candidates who are up for the job are Senator Thune. Senator Thune has a Heritage Lifetime Action score of like 62%. Again, the average Senate Republican is about 65%. So, again, he's sort of dead center of the Republican caucus. He's being portrayed as a wild leftist, Senator Thune, which, of course, is not true. That's because he's at odds with Donald Trump. Trump took a swipe at him in 2022, suggesting he was going to try to primary Thune because Thune wasn't sufficiently supportive of him in 2020 and didn't go along with the election stolen kind of stuff. And then Trump got half-hearted about it, and Thune won his reelect in a walk. So there are a lot of people on sort of the right side of the Republican Party who don't like Thune because they think he's too moderate, that he follows directly in the path of McConnell. The thing about Thune is that he does have a lot of training. I mean, he worked under McConnell for years in how to make the sausage. John Barrasso is another possible candidate. He's significantly older than John Thune. He is the Senate GOP conference chair from Wyoming. He has a strong relationship with Trump. He was actually the second senator in America to endorse Trump. Has a Heritage Lifetime Action score of 72%, so he's slightly more conservative than the overall Republican in the Senate. So from a conservative perspective, Barrasso might be your guy. And Barrasso seems like somebody who knows how the sausage is made and also happens to be more conservative overall than McConnell and has a warm relationship with Trump. So he seems like the obvious pick. The only downside is he's 71 years old. Now, I understand that in modern American politics, that makes you a spring chicken, but still, he's 71 years old. Senator John Cornyn has been suggested from Texas. Again, he is not quite as much at odds with Trump as, say, John Thune is. There's been discontent with Cornyn because Cornyn has supported some of the more bipartisan packages in the past. He has a Heritage Action Lifetime score of 64%. Again, most of these people are pretty close to the Senate Republican average. The calls for, you know, the suggestion. So Matt Gaetz says, oh, we won a big victory because McConnell is stepping in. McConnell's 82 years old and he's having freezes. And we played it on the show. He literally freezes up for minutes at a time. I mean, it is kind of amazing when you think about the fact that Nancy Pelosi's 82 years old and she said, I don't want to be House Minority Leader anymore. I'm too old. And then you have Mitch McConnell, who's 82 years old. He's like, I don't want to be the Senate GOP leader anymore. I'm too old. And then you have Joe Biden, who's like, I'm doing just fine. He's going to be 82 years old when he is inaugurated, if he wins, next January. And he'll be starting his second term, which means four more years of that. That shows how out of touch he is. Is this likely to be a transformative moment for the Republican Party? Well, it depends on who is picked. The Republican Party does have a choice. They can pick somebody who is competent at the job of Senate Majority Leader and gets most of the loaf when Republicans have a majority and make smart decisions and does the job. And again, the job is not to be a person who just says things. It's to actually get things done, pick good Senate candidates, That means picking purple candidates in purple states, by the way, which, again, doesn't please the base all the time. Or you can pick somebody who's a purist, gets very little done, and you end up in the minority. Those are the choices before Republicans. It'll be interesting to see which way Republicans go. We'll get to more on that in just a second, but first...
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
All right, coming up, the ouster of Mitch McConnell, the retirement of Mitch McConnell, the fight over his successor, all this is being done against the backdrop of Trump, which is very weird because positionally Trump is not very different from Mitch McConnell. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Reading, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Reading Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. One of the fascinating things about the state of Republican politics is there's all of this talk about Trump and MAGA and MAGA extremism. Donald Trump is, in fact, a political moderate in our current environment. All of this is sort of fascinating with the backdrop of Trump. So one of the things that's been happening with regard to the Senate race to replace McConnell is that Trump has been invoked a lot. And what you see from people is like, oh, we're so glad we got rid of McConnell because now we can put somebody who's more Trumpy in place. And one of the big mysteries about Donald Trump is what is more Trumpy? What does that even mean? So I've always suggested that there are sort of two sides of Trump that we have to assess, and we have to assess them separately because they actually do not correlate. One is rhetorical Trump, and one is policy Trump. And what you see with regard to policy Trump is a bunch of people who try to craft a Trumpism around what is actually just a set of political impulses by Trump that are generally moderated by his staff. So what you saw is, for example, you'll see isolationists claim that Trump is an isolationist. He is not. There is not much to suggest in his actual policy record that he is an isolationist, for example. There are people who suggest that Donald Trump is super socially conservative. There's nothing in his policy record to suggest that Donald Trump is super socially conservative. And so when people say, oh, we got rid of McConnell, that cuck, moderate, and now we're going to go more Trump. It's like, okay, but what are we talking about in terms of policy? Rhetorical Trump, the difference between McConnell and Trump is much more rhetorical than it is policy oriented. And this is true for Trump and literally everybody else. Trump's rhetoric is completely out of the box. He's a stand-up comedian who ran for the presidency and won. And he's great at it, right? I mean, he's hilarious. He's entertaining, right? All of those things are true. Rhetorical Trump is not policy Trump, which is actually one of the reasons, folks, why Donald Trump has a really good shot of winning reelect. Why? Because if you look at where Donald Trump is positionally, he is significantly closer to the middle of American politics than Joe Biden is. If American politics, traditionally speaking, has been run to the extremes during the primary, run to the center during the general, Donald Trump almost perfectly fulfills that. Except he actually hasn't even been running to the right in the primary. He just ran as himself because he has so much faith among the Republican electorate that he's been able to say heretical things that no other candidate would be able to get away with. So going into the general, as Joe Biden moves to his extreme left in this benighted attempt to garner the love of his radical base, as we talked about yesterday, he's abandoning the middle of the playing field. And the reality is that in terms of policy, Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell look very, very similar. And in fact, there are areas where Donald Trump is to the left of Mitch McConnell, particularly on pro-life issues. The reason that matters is if you're looking electorally, the reason, again, Donald Trump has a very good shot of winning a reelect is because he does not follow the Republican Party orthodoxy. One of the great ironies is the people who are claiming we need uncut, pure 100% grade A Trump. And what they mean by that is that we want to go like full pro-life, full SOCON, full isolationist. But that's not actually what he does. What he actually is the moderate in this race. This is the dirty secret. Dirty secret is, when it comes to independence, Donald Trump is much closer positionally to independence than Joe Biden is. And it's all affect. So much of this is affect. It's that Donald Trump is very militant in his affect. But in terms of where he is on the positions, that dude is a middle-of-the-road Republican. When I say middle-of-the-road, I would say that on policy, Donald Trump in many ways is closer to Susan Collins than he is to Rand Paul. And that is not a rip on him. That's just an observation about reality. It's one of the reasons, again, why I think that as a general elect candidate, he's appearing much stronger than I think people thought he would. Let's put it this way. If he had Ron DeSantis' position and his own disposition, if he mirrored Ron DeSantis on abortion, right, pro-life all the way to birth, if he mirrored that position and he had the affect, he would not be a viable general elect candidate. But he doesn't. So right now I want to go through the positions of Donald Trump. Because what I want to show you is that because Joe Biden abandoned the middle, Donald Trump is about to seize it. This is the biggest story in presidential politics that no one is covering, is that positionally speaking, Joe Biden abandoning independence has led to a huge swath of people in the middle taking a look at Donald Trump. By the way, you can see this happening broadly writ in sort of more celebrity circles. A bunch of people who certainly are not on the right suddenly taking a second look at Trump and going, I'd vote for that guy. If Joe Rogan is not a right-winger, Joe Rogan will likely vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. That's just a reality. I know, Joe. That's very likely to happen. And I think he said it publicly. Elon Musk will vote for Trump over Joe Biden. Elon Musk is not a right-winger. I know Elon Musk, okay? Like, this is true for a huge swath of people who consider themselves moderate left. And Elon once tweeted out this very famous meme of the political spectrum. And what it shows is that the person on the, it basically is an X, it's an X axis. And originally the X axis shows the person on the right here and the person on the left here and the person in the middle here. And then it shows the person on the left moving way the hell out here, which means that the person in the middle is now closer to the person on the right, relatively speaking. Okay. That's what's happened in American politics. Donald Trump's positions right now are almost identical with the positions of Bill Clinton in 1992. Donald Trump, ironically, looks more like a New Deal Democrat circa 1940 than Joe Biden does. Joe Biden looks like a wokester who goes to Columbia. All right, coming up, Let's go through the issues and see who is more moderate, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Your vacation is over, but the worst part, the long drive home from Sacramento. Unless you chose to fly from Redding, at Redding Regional Airport, your takeoff and landing are close to home, with quick check-ins and nonstop flights to San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Burbank. You can travel the world with one connection on United, Alaska, or Avelo Airlines. Next time, skip the drive to and from Sacramento. Fly with ease and convenience from Redding Regional Airport.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Do you come alive in the great outdoors? Do you love to hunt, fish, or cruise the lake every chance you get? See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. All you could possibly want or need to gear up for outdoors with over 150 exhibitors. From apparel to hunting, fishing, boating, camping, kayaking, mountain biking, off-road utility equipment, just to name a few. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Redding Civic Auditorium. Something for the whole family. Euro bungee, climbing wall, exhibitor demonstrations. Enjoy the beer garden with a variety of food. Win thousands in prize giveaways. $8 admission, 6 for seniors. 12 and under are free. Sunday we honor our veterans with our free admission all day. Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th. Go to www.readingsportsmansexpo.com for more information. Presented by Elwood Ranch, Pedigo Redding, Bridgeford, Garage Force, Crown Motors, and California Customs. See it all at the Redding Sportsman's Expo, April 6th and 7th at the Redding Civic Auditorium.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-45. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive, and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is kind of amazing that Donald Trump now holds the middle ground in American politics. So I took a look at the latest Harvard-Harris poll, which examined what were the biggest issues that Americans think are facing them. The number one issue is inflation. Joe Biden is underwater by 18 points on inflation. He has 37% approval and 55% disapproval. And there is a reason for that. That is because Joe Biden's position on inflation has been, I'm going to spend more money and more money and more money. And don't worry about the inflation. It's fine. And Donald Trump's position has been, you shouldn't spend that much money. It's bad to spend that much money. And you shouldn't inflate the currency. So, for example, here was Joe Biden. This is early on in his administration. This is July of 2021, saying that inflation is transitory.
We also know that as our economy has come roaring back, we've seen some price increases. Some folks have raised worries that this could be a sign of persistent inflation. But that's not our view. Our experts believe, and the data shows, that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and are expected to be temporary. Reality is you can't flip the global economic light back on and not expect this to happen.
Yep. That was Joe Biden's perspective on inflation. Does that sound close to the middle to you? Or does Donald Trump sound closer to the middle? This is from December of last year.
Under my leadership, inflation was non-existent. We had gasoline at $1.87 a gallon. After 3 years of Bidenomics, they call it Bidenomics from hell, the average monthly mortgage payment has gone from $1,746 under my administration to $3,322 today, but you can't get the money, so it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Okay, again, what he's saying here is quite moderate. It's particularly moderate because he says, I won't create mass inflation. Also, I'm not going to cut your entitlements. Right, Trump has taken the moderate position on entitlements. So who's closer to the middle there, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Take immigration. Joe Biden is currently 23 points underwater on immigration, 34% approval, 57% disapproval. And 12% of Americans say this is their top issue, by the way, making it the third biggest issue after the economy and inflation. Right. Those are kind of the same issue. So here is Alejandro Mayorkas, February 11th, saying that the Biden administration bears no responsibility for the border and it's all Republicans' fault. Does this seem like a moderate position to you, or does it seem like a very left wing position to you?
No doubt there is gridlock on Congress, but do you bear responsibility for what is happening at the border, what the president himself has called a crisis?
It certainly is a crisis, and we don't bear responsibility for a broken system, and we're doing a tremendous amount within that broken system. But fundamentally, Congress is the only one who can fix it.
Okay, no one believes that. No one believes that. That is a very left-wing position. And by the way, the left-wing position on immigration is being articulated all the time. Obviously, when it comes to presidential politics, what happens with other politicians impacts how people think of the presidential candidate. And you can have a random Senate candidate in Missouri affect the presidential election depending on what he says. Yesterday, the mayor of Athens, Georgia, was asked about the murder of a young woman at the University of Georgia campus in Athens. And instead of blaming the open border because an illegal immigrant killed this woman, the mayor of Athens tried to blame Trump. This is not going to hunt.
While 2019 was not that long ago, you might remember the dynamic we were living in the late teens in this country, where you had the President of the United States speaking in the most vile terms about people who were foreign born. And you had that notion metastasizing in places like Charlottesville.
Okay, that's insane. So it's Charlottesville was responsible for an illegal immigrant killing an American woman? No. But people broadly perceive this to be the position of the Democratic Party. Does that seem more moderate, or does Trump seem more moderate? This is January of this year, talking about the open border.
and victory cannot come soon enough. Under crooked Joe Biden, our country is dying. Our country is dying. Our border is open and gushing. It's a big gushing wound, letting drugs, crime, and millions upon millions of illegal aliens pour into our country like we've never seen before. Nothing like this has ever happened to our country before.
Leftists perceive this as extreme rhetoric because, again, of Trump's affect. He is much closer to the median position on immigration than Joe Biden is. Or, say, jobs and the economy. So Joe Biden's approval on jobs and the economy is 5 points underwater. 43% approve, 48% disapprove. As of October 2023, Gallup did a poll. They found 54% of Americans believe the government is trying to do too many things that should be left to individuals and businesses. Just 43% believe the government should do more to solve our country's problems. Which means Donald Trump is closer to the median voter than Joe Biden is. Which we're going to play two clips here. One is of Joe Biden touting Bidenomics, and one is of Donald Trump talking about Bidenomics. Which one sounds closer to the median here?
So I came into office determined to change the economic direction of this country, to move from trickle-down economics to what everyone on Wall Street Journal and Financial Times began to call Bidenomics. I didn't come up with the name. I really didn't. I now claim it, but they're the ones who use it first. But I think it's a plan that I'm happy to call Bidenomics. And guess what? Bidenomics is working. Bidenomics is about the future. Bidenomics, just another way of saying, restore the American dream, because it worked before. It's rooted in what we've always worked best at in this country, investing in America, investing in Americans. Because when we invest in our people, we strengthen the middle class, we see the economy grow. That benefits all Americans. That's the American dream.
Okay. Here is Donald Trump ripping into Bidenomics again. Which one sounds more like the median voter here?
During this holiday season, families all across America are struggling under the brutal weight of Bidenomics. You know, Bidenomics means a lot of bad things. This year alone, the typical American family is $7,500 poorer because Crooked Joe's globalist blunders and greedy betrayals have really hurt us badly. Today, a $2,000 monthly mortgage payment gets you a house worth less than $295,000. Under the Trump administration, the same number would get you a house that today would be worth $460,000. That's a big difference. As long as Crooked Joe Biden is in the White House, the American dream is dead. It's dead. You don't hear about the American dream anymore. You have people want to survive.
Again, which one sounds closer to the middle? How about climate change? So according to Pew Research, from August 2023, only 31% of Americans are interested in phasing out fossil fuels. That is the stated position of the Biden administration. They took a 31% position. Every single issue, Joe Biden and his team have decided to take the 30% position, which is insane. That is insane politics. Here, December 2023, John Kerry, climate envoy John Kerry, saying that we have to phase out fossil fuels. Good luck with that, dude.
Now, remember what I just said. The science says we have to reduce the emissions. It doesn't prescribe some particular discipline that has to be done. It says reduce the emissions. And so we believe that that means if you're going to reduce the emissions and you're actually going to hit the target of net zero by 2050, you have to do some phasing out. There's no other way to get to that target. So we are said very clearly that you got to have a largely a phase out of fossil fuels in our energy systems by 2050, focusing carbon capture technologies on the hardest to abate sectors like steel and cement and aluminum and concrete and so forth. Now, it's going to be a mix, folks, of things that get us to success here.
31% of Americans agree with John Kerry and want to phase out fossil fuels. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, January 2024, he's like, you know what? We're going to drill. You know what Americans like? Cheap gas, it turns out.
So we're going to come together. We're going to drill, baby, drill right away. Yeah. Drill, baby, drill.
Again, that is the moderate position. How about national security? Joe Biden, 6 points underwater, 42 to 48. Now, the left will suggest the reason that Joe Biden is underwater is because he's not left-wing enough. That is actually not true. The reason that Joe Biden is underwater is because he has a vague concept of how foreign policy ought to work. He speaks in platitudes with no actual endpoints, and then he commits American resources to those platitudes. So, for example, you remember October 2023, Joe Biden made a speech about, it was supposed to be about Israel, which had just been hit with the worst terror attack in its existence. And instead, he decided to link that together with Ukraine and then talk about democracy more broadly being at war. When you start to talk platitudes in foreign policy, you get yourself into trouble real fast. It turns out the American people, they're not real fond of the platitudes. You know what they like? They like winning, and they like not being bothered. That's what Americans mostly like. They like when our allies win and when they are not bothered. These are the things that Americans like. Joe Biden doesn't understand that, so he bothers them and doesn't win.
You know, the assault on Israel echoes nearly 20 months of war, tragedy, and brutality inflicted on the people of Ukraine, people that were very badly hurt since Putin launched his all-out invasion. We've not forgotten the mass graves, the bodies found bearing signs of torture, rape used as a weapon by the Russians, and thousands of Ukrainian children forcibly taken into Russia, stolen from their parents. It's sick. Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy, completely annihilate it.
Meanwhile, here's Donald Trump ripping on Joe Biden's foreign policy and saying, like, none of this would happen if you actually had a clear and coherent foreign policy, which is don't screw with America or our allies, or we'll bust you in the mouth, and then we'll win, and then we'll be left alone. Here is Donald Trump. Again, this is much more akin to how most Americans feel about foreign policy. October 2023.
Making America great again will begin with making America strong again and making America safe again. Under my leadership, the world was peaceful and calm because America was respected. The president was respected. I dealt with the strongest people in the world. They were smart. They were streetwise. They respected me. I respected them. They had different viewpoints. That's certainly true. But they were afraid of America. Today, they laugh at our country. They laugh. With crooked Joe Biden, you have chaos, bloodshed, war, terror, and death. Look what's happening today. Because the occupant of the White House is a laughingstock. All over the world, America's enemies cannot believe how lucky they got. They got real lucky. Every monster, villain, dictator, and terrorist, and there are plenty of them. I know most of them. I got to know a lot of them. All over the planet, they're having a field day because they know they will never have it better than they do with Crooked Joe, who in many cases received money from those countries. I wonder what that's all about.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. That's how most Americans think about foreign policy. American foreign policy is a weird mix of Wilsonian idealism and some classical Teddy Roosevelt speak softly and carry a big stick, real politique. And Americans tend to like the latter more than the former in this area, and they should. Already coming up, we get into education. Is Joe Biden the moderate on that issue, or is Donald Trump? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, We've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we have been theorizing that Donald Trump is, in fact, a moderate in the 2024 race, and no one will talk about it. When it comes to every issue, and we're going through all of them, Joe Biden is on the left. Donald Trump is in the center. He's not on the right. That is because the left went crazy. On education, Joe Biden has an approval rating that is plus two, but that's because he's 43-41. That is a very low approval rating on education for Democrats. Typically, the way that you gauge educational approval is how much money you're willing to spend. Joe Biden spends a lot of money on this stuff. The problem is he is also a wokester. So, for example, here was Joe Biden talking about the evil book bans in the state of Florida. Those book bans, by the way, most Americans understand, are things like genderqueer being left in school libraries for eight-year-olds to find and look at the porn inside. Joe Biden defending this sort of stuff is not a good look in the educational sphere.
We can't fully prevent people from being radicalized to hate and violence, but we must address the relentless exploitation of the Internet to recruit and mobilize violent extremists. And that's going to be hard. It conflicts in many cases with the First Amendment. We got a lot to do. That's why I issued the country's first ever national strategy on countering domestic terrorism, and I signed landmark hate crime legislation that we've passed. And we have to continue to act, though. Now is the time for all Americans to speak up when history is being erased, books are being banned. Do you ever think we'd have this conversation here at this time? Diversity is being attacked. As I said earlier, we're one of the most diverse countries in the history of the world. Diversity is a strength of our nation, a cornerstone of our democracy.
Hey, most people see right through that platitude, and what they see is Joe Biden backing critical race theory and gender theory in the classroom, which is why when Donald Trump says in May 2023 that he's going to cut funds for schools teaching CRT, most Americans agree with this. This is a middle-of-the-road position.
I will immediately sign a new executive order to cut federal funding for any school that's pushing critical race theory, transgender.
Okay. Meanwhile, by the way, on crime, again, this is a major issue for most Americans. Joe Biden has an approval rating of 37%, 50% disapprove. Why? Because Joe Biden's perspective on crime has been deeply embedded in this critical race theory equity nonsense. The idea being that if a disproportionate number of black people end up in prison for crime, that is not because a disproportionate number of black people are committing crimes. It's because the system is systemically racist, which means you have to crack down on police departments for their supposedly systemic racism. Here was Joe Biden right off the bat, January 2021, signing an order on racial equity to fight systemic racism.
And the simple truth is, our soul will be troubled as long as systemic racism is allowed to persist. We can't eliminate it. It's not going to be overnight. We can't eliminate everything, but it's corrosive. It's destructive, and it's costly. It costs every American, not just who felt the sting of racial injustice, We aren't just less of a, we are not just a nation of morally deprived because of systemic racism. We're also less prosperous. We're less successful. We're less secure. So we must change. And I know it's going to take time, but I know we can do it. And I firmly believe the nation is ready to change. But government has to change as well. We need to make equity and justice part of what we do every day. Today, tomorrow, and every
okay.
day.
Okay, if that's, you know, this nonsense that he's speaking right here comes up directly against the fact that people want criminals in prison. Donald Trump, November 2023, saying, here's what we should do. We should execute drug dealers. Now, the legacy media are like, oh, my God, that's terrible. How could he say such a thing? You know what most Americans are totally fine with? Executing drug dealers. You know why? Because 100,000 people a year in this country are dying of fentanyl overdoses. And a lot of that is because the fentanyl is poison. We're making an episode of Divided States of Biden on this right now. You know, the fact of the matter is that many of the people who are dying of fentanyl overdoses are not buying fentanyl and then injecting it into themselves. They are buying other drugs, like Adderall pills that are laced with fentanyl. When Trump says give dealers the death penalty, I'm on board. Here was Trump November 2023.
You know, when I call these people smart, the press always says, he said he was smart. I'm supposed to say they're not intelligent people. President Xi in China controls 1.4 billion people with an iron hand, no drug problems. You know why they have no drug problems? No. Death penalty for the drug dealers. Death penalty, right? You want to solve your drug problem? You have to institute a meaningful death penalty for drug dealers.
Not wrong. On abortion. Right. All the positions that we've discussed so far are ones that I think most mainstream conservatives agree with, and they happen to be moderate positions. On abortion, Donald Trump disagrees with mainstream conservatives on abortion. And yet he's able to get away with it. This is like the best example of Donald Trump being the guy who's seizing the middle ground. So Joe Biden, actually, believe it or not, on abortion, has an approval rating that is 5% underwater, 38-43. What do the polls say about what Americans are fine with in terms of abortion restrictions? 48%, a plurality of Americans, support a 16-week ban on abortion, which, by the way, is super late. And most European countries are at 12 weeks. But a 16-week ban on abortion. Only 36% are opposed to a piece of legislation that would ban abortion 16 weeks and beyond. That happens to be the position that Donald Trump is currently exploring. Meanwhile, Joe Biden has taken the position abortion until birth funded by taxpayers. In 2019, you'll recall that Joe Biden reversed himself. He had spent his entire career saying taxpayers should not have to fund abortion because you don't agree with somebody else getting an abortion. Why are you paying for it? Then in 2019, under pressure from his left flank, he denounced the Hyde Amendment.
We now see so many Republican governors denying health care to millions of the most poorest and most vulnerable Americans by refusing even Medicaid expansion. I can't justify leaving millions of women without access to the care they need and the ability to exercise their constitutionally protected right. If I believe health care is a right, as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes that right dependent on someone's zip code.
So taxpayer-funded abortion up until birth is the Democratic Party position under Joe Biden. Meanwhile, the actual Donald Trump position on abortion does not match with my own. You'll recall that in September 2023, Donald Trump ripped into Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida for a six-week abortion ban. So he has taken the absolutely milquetoast middle-of-the-road position on abortion. People criticize Nikki Haley for being middle-of-the-road on abortion. Trump is just as middle-of-the-road when it comes to public policy. Here he was in 2023, ripping on an actual abortion ban in the state of Florida.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15
weeks? Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a five-week and six-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes
too far? I think what
he
did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake. But we'll come up with a number. But at the same time, Democrats won't be able to go out in 6 months, 7 months, 8 months and allow an abortion.
So, again, how do you demonize that position as radically right-wing? Trump is actually taking one of the Democrats' most potent issues in the aftermath of the repeal of Roe versus Wade, or the overturning of Roe versus Wade. He's actually taking it off the table for them because he's a moderate on the issue. All righty, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The Smokehouse Creek fire continues to burn in the Texas Panhandle, destroying homes, cattle, and everything in its wake. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the firefighters fighting the fire are extraordinary.
The largest fire in the history of the state of Texas cut a path so large that it exceeds the size of some states in our country. And it would have been far worse and far more damaging, not just to property, but also to people, but for those firefighters.
The fires burned about 1,700 square miles in the Texas Panhandle and killed at least two people. Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley was laid to rest Friday. Riley was found dead last week on the campus of the University of Georgia after she failed to return from a jog. An illegal immigrant from Venezuela with a criminal history is charged in the murder. Her murder has reignited a focus on the growing illegal immigration crime wave in the U.S. Senator Tom Cotton says he's not surprised at reports some 40,000 military-aged Chinese men have been allowed to enter the country illegally over the past 18 months.
Again, unfortunately, you know, if you're Xi Jinping or Vladimir Putin, you look at America and, like, you don't have to worry about smuggling your spies across our border. Like, Joe Biden just lets them fly in and gives them visas to work in their embassies in Washington, D.C., or at the United Nations in New York, or their consulates around the country.
Cotton was interviewed by Salem Radio Network. The two largest pharmacy chains in the U.S. will begin selling abortion pills as soon as this month. Walgreens and CVS will start selling the pill at certain pharmacies in states where it's legal to do so. CVS will start filing prescriptions in Rhode Island and Massachusetts in the next few weeks. They'll expand to more states where allowed by law. The chains will not provide pills by mail. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get together for Pragertopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
A massive U.S. healthcare technology company says it was attacked by the ransomware group known as Black Cat.
Change Healthcare first acknowledged the attack last week. It's affecting healthcare providers across the country. Mostly, it's threatening the security of patients' information and paychecks for medical workers, and also may disrupt discharging patients from the hospital. The American Hospital Association says the attack is affecting patients' ability to get the medications they need, though pharmacies are using workarounds.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A top Republican who led the impeachment effort of DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has changed his mind about retirement. House Homeland Security Committee Chair Mark Green says he won't be leaving Congress when his term is up after receiving calls from his colleagues, constituents, and former President Trump urging him to reconsider. News and analysis at townhall.com. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul came up short Thursday in his bid to block the sale of F-16s to Turkey. Bob Agnew reports from Capitol Hill.
Senator Paul says most who approved the sale only recently changed their minds.
What we have here is a clear case of quid pro quo.
Approving the sale in exchange for Turkey dropping its opposition to Sweden joining NATO. He says last time there was the accusation of a quid pro quo of that size.
Boy, everybody was all up in a lather and they said we have to impeach Donald Trump because it's a quid pro quo.
Apparently, it depends on what the quid is and what the quo is.
But fellow Republican Jim Risch argued selling the planes to Turkey was easily justified.
They are an ally in NATO.
Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
A brand of hydrogen peroxide mouthwash is being recalled due to a risk to kids. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says Heritage Store hydrogen peroxide mouthwash packaging is not child-resistant. More at townhall.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin from the Flag Center. Winter rain and wind is hard on flags. So until March 21st, bring us that tattered old glory, and we'll give you 15% off any all-weather Tuftex American flag. Stop in and see us at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. The Flag Center, since 1982. American flags, American made.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Thanks for tuning in to the Matt Walsh Show. The architects of the New World Order are always searching for ever more efficient ways of containing and controlling and dehumanizing us, stripping our lives of beauty, destroying our freedom, and treating us like cattle to be herded and used. As we know, the goal is to have us all living in pods, stacked up on top of each other, eating bugs, owning nothing, and having no privacy. They seek even to lay claim to our inner lives, our consciences, the complete human existence, they believe, is one spent sitting in your rented prison bunk, eating your ration of grasshoppers for the day, numbed by psychotropic drugs while wearing your virtual reality headset to attend an endless string of corporate diversity seminars. And millions of people are already living a life that comes very close to this utopian ideal, but our overlords know that there are still advances yet to be made, new and innovative ways of eating our souls and making our lives even drearier and uglier. Enter the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia with a concept that has been ominously dubbed the land scraper. The Guardian reports, the promotional material is striking. Two mirror-encased skyscrapers stretching more than 100 miles across a swath of desert and mountain terrain, providing a future home for 9 million people. Is it the ultimate in high density living or a grandiose science fiction fantasy? In short, economists, architects, and analysts are not quite sure. So extravagant is Saudi Arabia's plan to create an urban utopia that even those working on the project, known as The Line, do not yet know if its scale and scope can ever be realized. Skeptics and supporters alike were this week given more insight into the extraordinary ambition of the development, the centerpiece of the futuristic Neom site near the Gulf of Aqaba, when the kingdom's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, outlined central aspects of what he intends to be one of the most ambitious urban developments built in modern times. Now, the concept will cost about $1 trillion to build, and the hope is that this idea can be exported to many other countries, including our own, to make cities more efficient and eco-friendly, you know, to save the planet and to finally bring into being a real-life sci-fi dystopia. There have been a lot of different visions for how this can be done. Many different people in different countries have had ideas of like what the cities of the future will look like in order to save the planet. And this is what this one's all about. Here's a promotional video explaining it a little bit more. Watch.
For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now, a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagine a traditional city and consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The Line will be home to 9 million residents and will be built with a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. And we are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. The Line's communities are organized in three dimensions. Residents have access to all their daily needs within 5-minute walk neighborhoods. and the line's infrastructure makes it possible to travel end-to-end in 20 minutes with no need for cars, resulting in zero carbon emissions. By leveraging AI technology, services are autonomous, saving you time and effort. Designed by world-leading architects, the line is 500 meters tall, 200 meters wide, 170 kilometers long, and housed within an elegant mirror glass facade. Intelligent solutions create efficiency and year-round temperate microclimate with natural ventilation. Energy and water supplies are 100% renewable. The line is designed as a series of unique communities, offering a wealth of amenities, providing equitable views and immediate access to the surrounding nature.
Oh, well, I mean, as long as you'll have equitable views, because that's the kind of view we all want, isn't it? You hike up to the top of a mountain, look out at God's creation and say, wow, the view up here is so equitable. That's a very normal and human reaction, right? Anyway, the plan, as you see, is to build a narrow 100-mile-long mirrored prison in which you can live and work and never leave and then die. As others have pointed out, it looks very much like a sleek and modern border wall of sorts, actually. So how quickly we went from, no, don't build the wall, to build the wall and live inside it. And speaking of living inside walls, this plan appears to have been inspired partly from sci-fi dystopian films that the architects have mistakenly taken as how-to guides, but then also partly from the living quarters of household pests. What they've come up with is an exciting opportunity for anyone who's ever dreamed of living in a termite colony. It may seem like, you know, you'd have a rather dismal existence inside this thing, surrounded on all sides all the time by glass and steel, totally cut off from nature, but at least you'll have the entertainment of watching birds constantly smash into the enormous mirrored exterior walls. Same for any other species of animals whose migration pattern happens to intersect with the human filing cabinet that they're building. Now, it may seem pointless to complain about this. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's not here. Actually, it's not even in Saudi Arabia. It's nowhere. This is a concept, a plan. We don't know if they'll actually be able to build it. And if they do build the thing, it seems highly likely that the experiment will fail in spectacular fashion, mitigating the risk that something similar would be attempted in this country. There are many ways that it could fail. You know, starting with the enormous damage that a few well-placed suicide bombers could do in a place like that. This is the Middle East, after all. Not to mention the fact that you'd be living in a literal transmission tube for disease. In fact, the whole thing seems like it was designed by a virus, but both the biological and computer variety, because the entire structure is supposed to run on computers and artificial intelligence, leaving its inhabitants totally vulnerable to cyber attack. By the way, what happens when someone takes out the generators in the giant glass rectangular prison in the middle of the desert? What then? Of course, the worst thing that could happen, though, is that the monstrosity is built and it works and no disasters befall it, and all of its inhabitants are kept satiated and numbed enough that there are no uprisings where the peasant class violently overthrows the elites of the rectangle, eventually setting fire to the whole thing and dancing around it as it burns. If nothing like that were to happen, tragically, then perhaps eventually we would end up with something similar here. Either way, whether they try to force us into this particular hellscape or they construct a slightly different sort of futuristic livestock stable for us, the fact is that this is the direction that the powers that be wish to take us, and are taking us. So it's worth pointing out the problems with this plan and any plan similar to it. And by plans similar to it, I'm including modern-day cities as they currently exist, which in their construction are only slightly less horrifying than the Total Recall-esque concepts that people like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia are coming up with. And all of the problems, including the ones I've already outlined, can be summarized this way. This actually is just a problem with leftism in general. It does not take into account human nature. This is one of the defining features of the elites in society, the globalists, the utopianists. They do not account for or understand human nature, both the good and the bad of human nature. So let's start with the bad. Human beings in our fallen state are naturally disposed to antagonism, tribalism, hostility, violence. That doesn't mean that every human being is a violent savage. It just means that humans have that natural capacity. And the more that you cram humans together into tight living quarters, the more that you're going to bring this side out. And since everybody is living in such a densely populated environment, when the violence does emerge, as it so inevitably will, the harm it inflicts will be exponentially magnified. one violent psychopath by himself out in the woods makes a good villain in a horror film, but the violent psychopath living in the city, right on top of hundreds of others of other people, is by far the greater danger, especially because he can now form tribes, gangs, with other violent psychopaths, and pretty soon your beautiful, harmonious sardine can existence has turned into a dirty, grimy, bloody, awful nightmare. For an example of this phenomenon, see any city, anywhere. Now, that's not to say that the violence and crime in the city and the violence and crime that would turn the giant rectangle into a glass prison of despair is all due to people living too close to each other. That's part of it. The bigger part is, of course, the breakdown of the family, the destabilization of necessary social structures, the deliberate institutional effort to undermine law and order, etc. But these are all the work of the very same people who are planning the utopian cities of the future, so those problems are all sure to follow. But human nature is not all bad, thankfully. One of our nobler characteristics is that we hunger for adventure, creativity, independence. Now, there may be people who, for whatever reason, for whatever perverse reason, enjoy cities, but everybody feels at peace in nature. Everybody can appreciate a beautiful lake or a stream or a mountain. People go to cities for convenience, for job opportunities, for bars and restaurants and nightlife and so on. They don't go there for beauty. They certainly don't go there for peace. They don't go there to fulfill any of the deeper longings of the soul. The ideal, most whole and complete way to live is on land you own, in a house that is yours, where you can breathe fresh air and enjoy at least a little bit of quiet and solitude and have, along with your family, at least a semblance of independence and self-reliance. But the issue is that we're harder to control and manipulate when we live like that, which is why the powers that be wish to usher us back closer together on property we don't own, living lives we don't control, packed into our stalls like so many horses in a massive modernized barn that smells only slightly better, if we're lucky. That's just no way to live. Yet it's how they want us to live, which is why we should live anyway, but that way. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Just when you thought B&T Satellite only does satellite dishes, it's a fact B&T Satellite makes TV easy. And now Doug's making Starlink Internet easy too. Starlink Internet is often the only way to get connected, especially if you game, stream, or work from home. Most often, there's several devices connected to your internet at one time, and that requires a great internet connection. B&T Satellite is your choice for Starlink Internet, and now Starlink installation and setup. Call B&T Satellite for your internet installation today, 241-3474. You'll always get the best dish Dish TV and DirecTV packages from B&T Satellite. But did you know Doug can set up your smart home devices, including cameras? Just call Doug at B&T Satellite, 241-3474. Don't call the 800 number. Call B&T Satellite today, 241-3474. For your home custom theater installation, for TV wall mounts, smart home devices, and everything satellite and internet, Doug makes satellite easy. Doug makes internet easy. Doug makes TV easy. Call B&T Satellite, 241-3474.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
It's Virginia.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. This is from the Daily Beast. It says, the office actor Rainn Wilson, who obviously played Dwight Schrute, came a bit too close to embodying his inflammatory TV character, Dwight Schrute, on Wednesday when he tweeted a poor attempt at a joke about transgender people. He tweeted, quote, TIL, you can no longer say nursing or breastfeeding mother. You have to say chest feeding person. Just FYI. That was the tweet, which I guess is supposed to be, that's not even a joke. That's just a, but that's just true. That's like what the left is trying to do. They're trying to supplant breastfeeding with chest feeding. So he tweeted this, and then but then he tweeted an apology. I think we have the actual tweet from him. He tweeted an apology. He said, yesterday I tweeted a mean crack about breastfeeding versus chest feeding. After speaking with some trans friends and educating myself a bit more, I want to apologize for the tweet. It was adding to misinformation and meanness. I'm sorry. So, of course, he immediately caves. What he originally said was not even a joke or a crack about trans people. He was pointing out that chest feeding has become the new PC term of art, which is true. But then he had to apologize for that because he was educated by his trans friends. Educated about what exactly? What did they teach you is what I want to know. And the thing about this whole breastfeeding versus chest feeding thing is that it doesn't even make sense. Okay, even on the left-wing premise here, it doesn't make sense. It's exactly like the Latinx Latinx thing. Oh, we need to have Latinx because it's gender neutral. Hispanic is already gender neutral. You could say Latin, and that's gender neutral. So along with all the other problems of Latinx, the first problem is that it's not by your own premise. It's not necessary. And it's the same thing here. Chest and breast, these are synonyms, essentially. Men have breasts. There's a reason why men can get breast cancer. It's rare, but men can actually get breast cancer. It's rare because they have less breast tissue, but men have breasts. And the words are basically used interchangeably. So it's a distinction actually without a difference in the first place. So when we're told by the left that, well, we need to say chest feeding instead of breastfeeding because it's more inclusive, that doesn't make any sense. The two words are synonymous. Now, what the left will say in response to that is, well, if they're the same, then why can't you just change it? If it means the same thing anyway, then why not just say chest feeding instead of breastfeeding? No, that's not, once again, I don't have to provide that explanation to you. No, it's more like, why should we change it? If it's basically a distinction without a difference and the change doesn't make any sense, I don't have to explain to you why we shouldn't change it. We've been using the term breastfeeding forever. Everybody knows what it is. You're the one suggesting the change. You have to explain it. It's not up to me. You're proposing the change, so that's something that you have to defend. Why is this necessary? But, of course, you can't defend it. The only defense is that, well, it makes trans people feel better. Why does it make them feel better? Number one. So we talk about breastfeeding, that makes them feel sad. Why? And then the second question is, why should I care that much in the first place? Why should we have to go through this great effort to change a term that everybody has been using forever and that has caused no problems for anybody? And now we got to change it because a couple of trans people had their feelings hurt. Explain that to me. All right. Last week we played some clips first shared and reported by Chris Ruffo of a training session from the far left LGBT extremist group, the Mazzoni Center. And if you remember, this was a conference attended by Philadelphia teachers and also by kids. And minors were invited to attend this conference as well. And there was a lot of depraved stuff. We don't have to go through all of it, but you can go back and watch the show if you want some examples. They had all kinds of, you know, they had people presenting information about, sex toys and everything else, like to teachers for some reason. And now we have more footage. This is from Rachel Simon. She's the woman in the video. She's a trans-affirming, quote-unquote, psychoanalyst. And I want you to listen to what she says. Listen.
I am Rachel Simon. I use she, her pronouns. I am a psychotherapist, educator, consultant, and author. I run my private practice here in Philadelphia, and I am the author of the Everybody book, which is an LGBTQ-inclusive sex ed resource for 7 to 12-year-olds. I love that you said that this talk specifically was geared towards teens, but you're so right that sexuality education starts the minute you're born. I mean, we're born with bodies. These bodies are cool. We want to touch our bodies. We're learning about privacy and, you know, being sexual in public from a very early age. Drop the cons of talking about sexuality with parents and getting our sexual info from parents in the chat. Because we're getting some of that embarrassment, awkwardness. Those can be cons. They don't want to talk about it. Homophobic and transphobic ideas from parents can absolutely be a problem. Inescapable judgment. Yeah, bigoted, misinformed parents who have no idea how to talk about gay sex. They're biased. If they are religious, it can be very difficult to get into the conversation with them. Yeah, sometimes you can get stonewalled out of information.
So, psychotherapist there. Sorry, I misgendered her as a psychoanalyst. She's a psychotherapist. And what's her message? Well, don't bother talking to your parents, you know. They're religious and bigoted. Don't bother talking to them. But sexuality education begins at birth, she says. Now, I have to keep banging this drum here because it's important to point out where this stuff comes from. And that is, and all of the sex ed stuff comes from Alfred Kinsey originally, and that is Alfred Kinsey to a T, that children are sexual from birth, literally from infancy. And as you're familiar with, if you listen to the show, and we've talked about before some of the horrific details around that pervert's life, he actually tried to prove through sexual experiments on young babies that babies are, quote, sexual from birth. So sexual from birth. So we're going to do sexuality education for infants now, I guess. See, we're behind the eight ball because we're sitting here saying, what do you mean? You do sex education in kindergarten? This is ridiculous. That's way too young. But what the left is saying is that, no, that's too late. What are you talking about too young? If anything, like by kindergarten, they're 5 years old. That's 5 prime years of sexualizing that they've missed out on, they're telling us. And then she also says, she gets more and more disturbingly specific. She says that from a very young age, we're learning about being sexual in public. What are you talking about? But of course, nobody, these people, they're always running unopposed, as it were. And you're only ever going to hear them talking into a camera on a conference like this or on stage in front of a like-minded audience of degenerates and perverts. They're never going to put themselves in a position where there's going to be any follow-up questions so they could just say stuff like this. You know, because if there was a follow-up question, then the follow-up would be, what? No, just back up a second. Little kids being sexual in public? What the hell are you saying? Explain that to me. Is that what you think? When you see kids out in public, that's what you think they're doing? Go ahead, explain. And we know whatever the explanation is, it's not going to, there's no way to make that any less depraved. And this again is, this was a training session, at least in part for teachers. This is what teachers are being told. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risks to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So, what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. From the Post-Millennial, it says, in response to a Texas state representative announcing that he will file legislation to ban drag shows from having children in their audience, California State Senator Scott Wiener proposed offering drag queen curriculum in schools. Responding to a tweet from Representative Brian Slayton of Texas in which he announced the legislation, Wiener wrote, and it's just, I mean, the fact that his name is Wiener, it's just so perfect. He said, this guy just gave me a bill idea offering Drag Queen 101 as part of the K through 12 curriculum. Attending Drag Queen story time will satisfy the requirements. Okay, now, you might think, you see the tweet there, you might think this is slightly tongue-in-cheek. And even if it is, it's still horrifying and disgusting, and this guy's a groomer scumbag. But, oh, no, this is not a joke. This is not a joke from this guy. He will introduce that legislation. And we'll have more examples of other legislation that he's introduced before just to show you that, you know, he could put his money where his mouth is. In fact, we'll continue. It says in 2020, Wiener authored a bill that would end discrimination against LGBT people, quote unquote, by providing exemptions from the sex offender registry. The bill, SB 145, made exemptions for people who are convicted of certain offenses as long as the person convicted is no more than 10 years older than the minor, with the minor being no younger than 14. This bill would exempt from mandatory registration under the Act a person convicted of certain offenses involving minors if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor, and if that offense is the only one requiring the person to register. There were some other ones as well. More recently, Wiener authored a bill that would authorize the creation of safe consumption sites within cities and counties. So that's another one, is the bill where people can go and use drugs. Also, Wiener, alongside fellow state senator Todd Gloria, authored a bill that passed back in 2017 that removes federal penalties and prison time for people that knowingly expose a sexual partner to HIV. So prior to Wiener coming along, he was unfortunate phrasing there. Prior to this guy, it was illegal in the state of California, as it still is, I think, at least in some states in the country, and it should be in every state, to knowingly infect somebody with HIV. As in, if you have sex with somebody and you're HIV positive, you have a legal responsibility to tell them ahead of time. Of course, that should be the law. But now, thanks to Wiener, you can intentionally and knowingly infect somebody with HIV, and it's not a crime. So that's where this guy's coming from, and that's why when he says that he's going to make a bill requiring mandatory drag queen classes for children, oh, he'll do it. And I repeat what I said yesterday, that I very much welcome Democrats making this their new cause. Okay, I don't welcome these kinds of classes in public school, of course. Though, honestly, I mean, if you're in California, living in California, number one, and number two, you're in California and you have your kids in public school in California, then, I mean, what do you expect? Like, that's almost inexcusable at this point. But what I welcome and what I want is for the Democrats to explicitly come out to say what they already think, what we know they think, which is that this is a good thing, and to circle the wagons around it so that everybody else can see. Another great mask-off moment for the left. So that all the normal people out there, however many still exist, can see this and, like, you can decide. Do you really? Is this what you want? Is this what you believe in? You want to vote for people, support people who think that we should mix drag queens and kids? Another part of the process, aside from tolerate, accept, celebrate, participate, the other thing that you find is there's this kind of stages of denial, or how denial kind of morphs into defense. So that's the other thing we always see with the left. So first, when it came to this, you know, drag queens and kids, originally they said, that's not really happening. It's not happening. That's not really a thing. This is all, it's a right-wing conspiracy theory. There might be a few examples of it, but that's very, very rare. And it's not a big deal. It's not really happening. And then how quickly we go from that to, oh, it is happening, but it's good. It's not happening. Okay, it is happening, but it's good. And then that goes to, it is happening, it's good. Oh, and it's mandatory. So we go from not happening to mandatory. And that thing, and that can, that process can play out very quickly. That can happen within the span of like hours. Okay. And I think we're going to see that here because, the left has been ramping up, as we've been covering on this show. Libs of TikTok on Twitter has been doing a lot of work to reveal this. This is an increasing trend now on the left of drag queens and kids. And the worst iteration of that, the most evil form, of course, is when the kid is actually enlisted to be the drag queen. So here's something Libs of TikTok had. This is, I still don't know where, I'm not sure if we know where this happened, but some kind of bar. We have adults cheering on for a child drag queen. Let's see this for just a moment.
Let me tell you, one of the fiercest performers yet. You guys haven't seen nothing yet. Please give it up for the one, the only King of Queens!
Okay, so you can see that is an actual child that we're talking about. I can't even watch this. All right, you can turn it off. I mean, that's the kind of thing, you have to see it, because if you don't see it, then you won't believe it. Right? I think there's still a lot of people, if you told them that this is happening, that child drag queens are dancing for adults at gay clubs, you told that, say it's an average person on the street, they're going to say, they're not going to believe you. They're not going to believe it's happening. And that's why the work that, you know, accounts like Libs of TikTok are doing, that's why it's important to see this is actually happening. This is a real thing. Okay? And it's not just a couple of incidents. It's happening all over the place. This is Baka Bazi, okay? Which is Afghanistan, and a lot of our veterans who spent time in Afghanistan, unfortunately, confronted this and were made very much aware of this tradition in the culture among the men in Afghanistan. Baka Bazi, or quote unquote dancing boys, and that's where men in Afghanistan will sit around and they'll watch little boys dressed up as girls dancing for them. And then, of course, there's a lot of sexual abuse and child rape that happens as well, which, by the way, is you know, kind of redundant to even say that, because the event itself is child sexual abuse already. And you hear about that in Afghanistan. I mean, I remember hearing about that for the first time when we first went into Afghanistan. And in this country, people were horrified. And you had veterans coming home from Afghanistan traumatized by having witnessed it, especially witnessed it, and they're not allowed to do anything about it. They're being instructed by their higher-ups that they can't stop it. Coming home traumatized because of that, and then what do you know, 15 years later, same damn thing is happening here. And it's being defended in the mainstream by leftists and Democrats. and let them defend it. Defend it. Defend it loudly. Loud and proud. Come on. Just come out and give us your argument. By the way, this is the same thing. Remember I said that when they propose something, it's up to them to explain it and defend it? Okay, you have to force them to do it? Because they're playing the same game with this, by the way. There was, I've seen a lot of this on Twitter, and one example is a Charlotte Clymer, who I think works for one of these human rights campaign or one of these radical trans LGBT organizations, militant, and posing the question of, I don't understand why it's so wrong to mix children and drag queens. Could someone explain to me why it's wrong? So we've heard that a lot from the left. People with platforms, prominent people, saying, oh, well, I'm open to understanding why you guys object to it, but why don't you explain it? Okay, we shouldn't need to explain it, and we don't have to explain it. That should be, if it's not immediately obvious to you why it's wrong, then that says something very troubling about you. But also, let me flip that around. You are the one proposing this. You're the one, it's your side introducing this into the culture. You explain why we need to do it, okay? You give us the defense of it. What's good about it? Why do kids need this? Kids are getting along just fine. They're just being kids. They're playing. They're using their imaginations. They're living, you know, innocent, childlike lives as they should. You're coming along and saying, oh, you know what they need? They need drag. So that's up to you to defend and explain, which you can't do so far. Or at least the defense is not anything that you'll say out loud. Because the real reason that you want to do it is that you have an actual agenda to sexualize children. You don't want to say that out loud yet. Crazy story here from Fox. It says a Pennsylvania woman is facing misdemeanor charges after allegedly sending deep fake naked photos and videos of her teenage daughter's cheerleader rivals in an effort to get them kicked off the team or convince them to kill themselves. Raphael Marie Spohn of Chalfont was arrested March 5th, charged last week with 3 counts of cyber harassment of a child and 3 counts of harassment. Last summer, Spohn allegedly created doctored photos and videos of at least 3 teenage members of the Victory Vipers, a competitive cheerleading squad based in Doylestown. The image appears to show the high school girls either naked or in bikinis, drinking alcohol and smoking vape pens. And this is a deep fake. This was all faked. Obviously, it's not real. And now she's facing misdemeanor charges. First of all, how do you not have child pornography charges, felonies, for something like this? And I'm usually the last guy to advocate that we make new laws. I think we make new laws far too often. But here's one where I think we do need some new laws. I think you need serious jail time, not just on the child pornography end of it, which of course there should be for that. But with deep fakes, this is going to be a huge problem. It's already a problem. It's going to be a huge problem. As this technology becomes more and more convincing, and when we get into video, think about how easy it's going to be to defame someone, slander them, and how impossible it will be for them to prove otherwise. When you can simply manufacture a photo or a video of them doing some heinous, unspeakable thing. There's got to be serious, serious jail time for that as a means of dissuading people from this before it becomes a major problem in society. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, has teamed up with the Flag Center and are giving you a chance to win an American flag. And there are two ways to qualify to win a beautiful, high-quality American flag by Annan. We will be giving them away every Friday morning at 8:15. Now, the first way to qualify is listen weekdays between 7 a.m. and 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott during Free Fire Radio. And they're going to let you know when to call in to qualify at 530-605-4566. And the second way to qualify, check out our Facebook page. Look for the American flag and type your name in the comments. Then, every Friday morning at 8:15, we will draw a winner of a beautiful American flag from the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive and your friends here at KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
This is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Limp and Lenny Matthews for our show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here on Tuesday night at 6 p.m., brought to you by KNS Staffing Solutions.
530-605-4517.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. You know, one of my favorite pieces of extra content that we post on our YouTube channel are my Reddit relationship advice videos. And this is when I comb through the relationship forums on Reddit to impart my wisdom to the confused and helpless souls who are so desperate that they're actually stooping to soliciting advice from the Reddit community. Now, my advice may not be great from an objective standpoint, but it's better than anything that, you know, they'll get from Reddit. So today, in that spirit, I'll be trying to help a young woman whose relationship quandary, as posted to Reddit, went viral this week. I'll be helping her, and I'll also be canceling her, because that's what we do in this segment, nothing personal. I mean, usually it is pretty personal, but never mind that. A woman named Kate Whitaker on Twitter seems to be one of the first to have taken this post and amplified it, causing it to go viral. She tweeted a screenshot along with a caption revealing her bias. She says, "What on earth is going on with men?" Ironically, though, the man in question is not on earth. He is under the earth, where all men wish to be. The Reddit post is titled, "How can I get my boyfriend to stop digging his tunnel?" Now, we see the problem already from the way she framed the situation. She says, "How can I get him to stop?" Rather than, "Should I get him to stop?" which is the real question you should be asking. She's assuming from the outset that she should stop her boyfriend from digging his tunnel. To her, it's self-evident that men should not dig tunnels. But to men, it's self-evident that we should and we must. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Here's her version of the story. Let's read it. She says, "So I know this is a weird question, but my boyfriend likes to spend a lot of his free time digging a tunnel on some property that he inherited. I haven't seen the full extent of it, but last I saw it was remarkably deep under the surface. He spent roughly a year on it, and it's evident. The front of the thing is deep, wide, well put together. At the front, which is the only part I've seen, he's got cement beams, electric lights, even chairs and a small table. I haven't gone into it, but it looked like the quality severely dropped as the tunnel went further, mostly becoming open dirt with some wood beams holding it up." Now, pausing here for a moment. It is baffling to me that her boyfriend has been digging this awesome tunnel and she hasn't even gone into it. This is like if he had spent a year painting a masterpiece or chiseling a beautiful sculpture out of rock and you didn't even bother to look at it? What if you were in the Sistine Chapel with Michelangelo in the year 1512 and he told you that he just finished painting the ceiling and he's like, I just finished painting that whole ceiling. It took me forever. And you're just like, oh, cool. And you didn't even bother to look up and check it out. This is shocking to me, especially when the thing in question is a badass tunnel. She continues, my biggest concern is his safety. I'm really worried that he's going to dig too deep and it'll collapse on him or something. I've tried voicing this concern to him, but he just laughs it off and assures me that he'll be fine. Aside from safety concerns, there's also the fact that he doesn't really have a social life because of this thing. I'm pretty much the only person he still talks to outside of his job, and he doesn't go out and do anything anymore. It used to be that he'd occasionally head out and do some digging on the weekends, but now he spends almost all of his free time out there. He still comes home, but he barely spends any time with me. And I know that he isn't going to be, he isn't doing anything but digging that damn hole in the ground. This can't be good for his mental health, but I don't know how to convince him to stop. He's always really happy when he comes back from digging, which is why I haven't seriously tried to stop him before. But I was talking to a friend about him, and she told me he might be going crazy. Obviously, I don't think he's insane, but I hadn't considered the mental health aspect of this, and I just don't know what to do. Okay, let's clear a few things up. Now, yes, sure, there are some valid safety concerns here. If the tunnel isn't properly built and supported or ventilated, you could, you know, die. But let's just put the risk of death aside for a second. That's a minor detail, frankly. And also, I see no reason for us to assume, given the information provided, that this man is digging his tunnel in an unsafe way. That would be, I believe, an erroneous assumption. So let's table the whole dying situation for a moment and look at the bigger picture. First of all, speaking to the woman who wrote this, your problem fundamentally is that you think you have to understand everything about the man you're dating, but you can't and you won't. Woman will never fully comprehend man, just as man will never fully comprehend woman. We are made for each other, and yet we are mysteries to each other. That's the essence of romance. The difference, though, is that man knows he cannot understand woman, and he's okay with that. Woman, in fact, becomes very frustrated by just how okay with it he is. So, you know, she'll say something cryptic and out of context to him, and he'll have no idea what she's talking about, but he'll just go, oh, okay, okay, and then get back to what he's doing. And she'll stand there stunned and say, well, aren't you going to ask me what I'm talking about? And he'll say, okay, yeah, what were you talking about? And he'll just hope it isn't a long story, but it always is. On the flip side, man can say nothing at all. He can simply walk into the room with a slightly abnormal facial expression, and woman will start interrogating and waterboarding him to extract every last piece of information she can about this facial expression. What are you thinking? She'll ask. And she won't accept it when he says nothing, even if that really is the answer. She must understand everything about him, but she won't. And she can't accept that. And even though she won't, I will now endeavor to lay out a few facts about men that may help women, especially this one. The first is this. Every man dreams of two things, often related: having a secret door in his house that leads to a secret room, and building a great tunnel. This tunnel might connect one secret room to another, or it might simply go all the way down to the center of the earth, where we hope we'll expect to find goblins and dinosaurs and Elvis hiding out or whatever. There's something cathartic about digging. We are called into the earth, into the caverns. We hear the siren song, just as our forefathers did, assuming our forefathers were meerkats or dwarves from Middle Earth or something. You can't understand this. We don't understand this. And yet, this is just how it is. The other thing about men is that we're prone to becoming randomly obsessed with very weird and specific things out of nowhere. Again, we cannot explain this. We shouldn't have to explain it. For example, I recently decided that I want to get a giant aquarium with lots of rare and tropical fish in my house. And I keep telling my wife about it, and she keeps wanting to understand why I'm obsessed with being a fish owner all of a sudden. And I keep telling her that actually it's called fish keeping, according to all the videos I've watched about it. And she says, wait, you're watching videos about people who own fish? And I say, they're fish keepers. Yes. And around we go. A man becomes bizarrely fixated on some arbitrary thing. A woman looks on, confused. And it's the great dance of life. Then we get to the biggest problem that I noticed in this story. Needless to say, I noticed no problems with the man who simply wants nothing but to dig. All of the problems, as usual, are with the woman. Especially when she acknowledges that the man is happy when he digs, he's fulfilled, he's doing what he wants to do, what he's called to do, and yet she talked to her friend and decided that though he's happy and seemingly mentally well-adjusted, he must be crazy. Women, listen. I know I'm not going to stop you from talking to your friends. But just realize that if you, who spend every day with your man, still struggle to understand all of his ways, then what chance does your friend have? What insight can she really offer about him? What does she know? Is she even in a healthy relationship herself? Has she even seen the tunnel? Or is she making judgments about the tunnel without all the facts? A tale as old as time. The meddling friend. This is the scourge of men everywhere. So, just stop that, ladies. Let the man be. Let him be a man. Let him dig. Let him get his $18,000 aquarium. Yes, it's $18,000. But it's worth the investment. And it helps with equity in your home or something, maybe. Anyway, let him live. Damn it. That's all I'm saying. Otherwise, you're canceled. That's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley was laid to rest Friday after being found dead last week on the campus of the University of Georgia after she failed to return from jogging. An illegal immigrant from Venezuela with a criminal history is charged with her murder. Her murder has reignited focus on the growing illegal immigration crime wave in the U.S. Senator Tom Cotton says there's a good chance potential terrorists have been allowed to seep into the country as a result of President Biden's lax policies on the southern border.
Places that have trouble with terrorism, they're probably here not just to try to take our jobs and maybe commit awful, heinous murders, but commit mass murder in the form of terrorism. Again, it's the natural and logical consequence of Joe Biden's open borders.
Senator Cotton was interviewed this week by Salem Radio Network. Weather's in the news as wildfires hit the state of Texas hard. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says there is total devastation.
When you look at the damages that have occurred here, it's just gone. Completely gone. Nothing left but ashes on the ground.
He says up to 500 structures have been destroyed. Two large air tankers from Spokane are headed to Texas to help fight the largest wildfire in the state's history. It's a different story out west, where a powerful Pacific storm is expected to drop 10 feet of snow in the Sierras. National Weather Service meteorologist Matt Chiba says the storm will last until Sunday morning.
With the storm, we are seeing some very strong winds gusting up to 70 miles per hour in some lower elevations and up to well over 100 miles per hour in the higher elevations.
A blizzard warning covers a 300-mile stretch from north of Lake Tahoe to south of Yosemite National Park. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Dennis Prager. I am excited to announce the all-new Pragertopia Plus. You can listen to my show whenever it's convenient for you, all commercial free and all on demand. Now with Prager Plus, search topics, guests, and segments all the way back to 2010. And now a truly exciting new benefit, my monthly online video get-together for Pragertopia Plus members only. This is where for an hour each month, Pragertopia Plus members get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. That's right, anything. It's on video. I'll be talking to you and answering your questions. We may even have a special guest every now and then. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at Pragertopia.com. This is only available to Pragertopia Plus members. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
News industry lawsuits are piling up for OpenAI, the company behind artificial intelligence-fueled chatbot ChatGPT.
Several digital outlets have sued OpenAI, saying the company used their journalism without permission, credit, or payment. The outlets follow similar copyright infringement lawsuits filed by the New York Times and authors. While OpenAI has reached some licensing agreements for use of stories to train its chatbots, others have been left out.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The digital outlets say their material does have federal copyright protection, even if they did not purchase copyright licenses from the federal government. Elon Musk is also suing the company. Alabama Senator Katie Britt will deliver the GOP response to President Biden's State of the Union address last week. She was sworn into office last year after scoring the endorsement of former President Trump, becoming the first woman elected to represent Alabama in the Senate. News and analysis at townhall.com. Problems for America's lobster industry.
The industry is grappling with challenges, including new rules designed to protect rare whales. Members of the industry say they face existential threats from proposed rules intended to protect the North Atlantic right whale and climate change that is influencing where lobsters can be trapped. Data says Maine fishermen's catch of 93.7 million pounds in 2023 was 5% less than the year that preceded it, and the lowest total catch since 2009. John Scott reporting.
In business news, Boeing is now in talks to buy Spirit AeroSystems, which makes the fuselage for Boeing 737 MAX jetliners. Wall Street Journal first reported on Friday that the companies have held preliminary discussions about a possible sale. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blasingame present Amazing Pollinators, on display now through May 27th at the Turtle Bay Museum. Immerse yourself in this visually stunning, game-based role-play adventure that explores the colorful and diverse world of pollinator and plant relationships. Amazing Pollinators at Turtle Bay Museum was created by Minotaur Mazes, a company specializing in interactive maze exhibits. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Join Token's radio show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Experience for the first time glowing wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern display at Turtle Bay's McConnell Botanical Gardens at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Open select dates March 29th through May 26, 2024. Year of the Dragon. Glowing Wild will feature 10 acres of botanical gardens filled with larger-than-life Asian lantern displays of animals from around the world, plus music, animation, food and drinks, and more. Don't miss Glowing Wild at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Some Democrat shot at the police serving a legal warrant at a home because of drug charges, and they shot a police officer, and when the police shot back, they killed a woman living in the house. And the Democrats made a hero out of her. They made a hero out of George Floyd, a career criminal, career felon, and ex-convict, repeated ex-convict, and drug addict, fentanyl, methamphetamine. He's the hero of the Democrat Party. Lakin Riley, they spit on her grave. They couldn't care less about Lakin Riley. They're more in bed with, if they could be in bed with Jose Ibarra, I think they might be. Pretty remarkable stuff. Also, speaking of communists, the funeral of Alexei Navalny is taking place today in Moscow. They couldn't get a hearse driver to show up to transport his body because this is what commies do to any society. And Vladimir Putin is a communist, although the New York Times called him a conservative. But never mind that. And a liberal on my television show on Newsmax said he wasn't a communist, too. Not a communist. Career KGB colonel. Not a communist. Wants to reconstitute the Soviet Union. Not a communist. Lefties and the truth. There is no relationship there at all. Quite remarkable stuff. Remarkable. And did you see Joe Biden at the border? They did bring out a group of Border Patrol officers that were behind him, and it looked like they were dragged there at gunpoint. I was trading texts with friends of mine last night, and they said, before I had seen the video, and they said, hey, have you seen this video? It looks like the Border Patrol agents were being held hostage. The looks on their faces, their body language. They were being forced to stand behind Joe Biden and be used as props, knowing that Joe Biden has destroyed their mission and is destroying the United States of America because, you know, this is the fundamental transformation of America that Barack Obama promised. And he also warned us that we all better learn to speak Spanish because they had big plans in mind, didn't they? They had big plans in mind. So we've got the Lakin Riley funeral in Woodstock, Georgia today. In Moscow, we have the Alexei Navalny funeral, and these two funerals have something in common, and there's a communist running the show in Russia, in Moscow, and there's a leftist running the show, a sock puppet for the hardcore left in the United States of America, and they're doing everything they can to demolish the United States of America as we know it. And wait, there's more, since we're talking about communists and the Democrat Party and destroying America. We have a couple of extremist radicals, members of the Squad. The Democrat Party really is a party of extremists and radicals, the party of murder and carjacking and so on. But Ilhan Omar, who is a certified jihadi, she has her jihad card, and Pramila Jayapal, extremists, anti-American radicals, they launched a secret trip. It was a secret to communist Cuba as members of Congress, and they went down there to suck up to the communist totalitarian murderers who jail all of their political enemies. Hey, wait a minute. In Moscow, they jail their political enemies, and then, you know, they die mysteriously, but not so mysteriously, in a gulag-style prison north of the Arctic Circle. And, in communist Cuba, they jail their political enemies. And here in the United States of America, in Nicolas Maduro's Venezuela, which people are fleeing, people flee Cuba if they can, too, risk their lives to get out of there. And Democrats like Pramila Jayapal and Ilhan Omar think that it's a paradise of some kind because they love totalitarianism. You know, it's slavery. It's modern-day slavery. And the Democrat Party is the party of slavery of yesteryear. And they're the party of slavery in the future, too, because they're the left. Worry about the grandkids, because we're in a very bad place. But Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal, they went down to praise the communists in Cuba who jail their political enemies. In the United States, the Democrats jail their political enemies. They're trying to jail Donald Trump, their chief political enemy. He's on our side, the side of America, the United States, of Americans, of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, of freedom-loving people everywhere. He is occasionally uncouth, but that's not his most important characteristic. And this extraordinary trip by Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal to comment, a secret trip, no less. And then we found, and at taxpayer expense, and they're down there sucking up to totalitarian communists that kill and jail their political enemies, just like Vladimir Putin. These people are not Democrats. They are, you know, not in the traditional and classical sense. Not even close. It's pretty extraordinary stuff. But I'll share with you the developments there, and I have some audio for you of Ilhan Omar, and also of Nicole Meliotakis, who comes from escaped Cuban stock. Kind of important, very important stuff. And, you know, we have a number of members of Congress who are of Cuban descent, and I work every day with Mercedes Schlapp, who also comes from a Cuban-American family. Her parents escaped the commies there as well. But the Democrats love slavery and jailing political enemies and you know, lots of crazy stuff going on. So we've got that for you because Democrats. I am telling you. Congressman Carlos Jimenez is another one, a Republican from Florida, Cuban stock. Not too amused with the secret communist trip of Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal, who should be expelled from Congress and probably handcuffed and jailed, as they would do to their political enemies. Just, you know, what goes around comes around, as they say. So we've got that for you. Also, President Trump has renamed Joe Biden. He's got a new nickname for Joe Biden. And he kind of lifted it, and he said, and it's funny, he told up on stage at the podium, he said what he's done. He kind of poached his own nickname for Hillary, and he's transferred it over to Joe Biden. So I've got that for you today, and that's pretty funny stuff. The Democrats, boy, are they not on our side. They opened the borders, then we've got the Venezuelan crime wave and the illegal alien crime wave, murders, rapes on children and all this stuff, and the news media doesn't care. They attack Republicans. Amazing stuff. Also, Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden transcript from his Capitol Hill hearing the other day, it was a closed-door hearing, has been released, and our filthy news media is just lying about it like professional psychotic liars. It's truly incredible the way that they're lying to us. Amazing, amazing stuff. So we got that. Yeah, yeah. Joe Biden was down there. He was, you know, remember he said he was going to unify the country when he came in? And yesterday he was down there calling Republicans Neanderthals. He was calling Republicans Neanderthals. And in the meantime, President Trump, and he went to the least busy place along our southern border when it comes to his illegal aliens crossing. I said yesterday, I think that, you know, I thought that when he went down to the border, he might go to the Mexican side. He might actually not go to the American side of the U.S.-Mexico border. He might go to the Mexico side and hand out gift baskets and green cards and your daughter's address because, boy, are they not on our side. Amazing stuff. Now, he didn't end up going to the Mexico side of the border, but he should. He'd be more welcome there because he may be on the side of the cartels. He's definitely on the side of the cartels. The cartels love him. He's making the Mexican drug cartels very happy, and he's making them billions of dollars. They continue to murder thousands of people, and they have systemic rape and all that. But, you know, but that's your Democrat Party's program. So I've got good stuff for you on that. You know, Joe Biden, with his 94 executive orders, undoing all of the border security measures taken by President Trump and the Trump administration, was the, you know, sounding the alarm, putting the bat signal in the sky for every illegal alien and every gang member out of Venezuela and every cartel member to come into the United States and to maraud around the country in New York and Chicago and in Washington, D.C. and beyond. The Democrat Party needs to be removed from power if the United States is going to survive. Did you see the White House is now, the White House is now referring to illegal aliens by a new name. The new word that they have for illegal aliens is newcomers. Now they're calling Venezuelan gang members from the prisons in Venezuela that were emptied out by socialist hero Nicolas Maduro, and all the gang bangers have been sent to the United States, and he's not taking anybody that we would deport. Now, I think President Trump would change the math on that lickety split. That had changed very, very rapidly. But we are being kicked around like a schoolgirl at a Taliban picnic on the world stage because of Joe Biden. And there will be more murders and more sexual assaults of children, more drug trafficking, more drug deaths, because Joe Biden is in charge, and that's what the Democrats want. That and more carjackings and more looting, more shutting down businesses in your area, because these people aren't liberals, they're the left. How many times do I have to say it, honestly? So the left is, look, all my life, the left, commies, have been a disease loose on the planet. But we didn't always have them here, and they didn't have the Democrat part. We always had small numbers of lefties rioting and, you know, killing cops and robbing Brinks cars and plotting revolution and so on. But there were tiny numbers. Well, those tiny numbers, and, you know, Barack Obama palled around with them. Those terrorists, William Ayers and Bernardine Dorn and so on, they love cop killers. They hate cops. This is your Democrat Party today. You can vote accordingly as you see fit. I'll leave it up to you. But just amazing stuff. And Joe Biden yesterday calling Republicans Neanderthals. Is that what it was, Jeff? We have Jeff Wolf in today. Michael Piercy had to take the day off and is not with us today. But, boy, yeah, Neanderthals, those Neanderthals. And he's talking about global warming, also known as climate change, at the southern border, as though that has anything to do with anything. But they're pretending, a lot of these left-wing radical lunatics, that people are fleeing their beephole countries because of the weather, because of the climate. Now, these are countries where millions of Americans go on vacation because of the weather, because of the climate. But these people, these gang members, are fleeing these beephole countries that we go to vacation on the beach because the climate is so bad. The climate is terrible. This is what Joe Biden is selling and the Democrats are selling. If you buy it, if you buy that, you need a brain scan. Why do the Democrats riot? Because George Floyd died of heart failure while resisting arrest as he was being taken into custody for yet another felony. With fentanyl and methamphetamine coursing through his veins, they burned too many cities to list here. But Lake and Riley, they could care less about. What does that tell you about the Democrat Party? We are at 888-630-9625. We got a whole lot of other stuff for you, too. Boy, we got a lot of stuff. Catherine Herridge update. More corrupt leftyism. And mayhem, mayhem, mayhem. 888-630-9625.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Do you want more online safety and privacy? I know I do. That's why I started using NordVPN. It guards me against various internet threats. Digital trackers, malicious websites, and malware-infected downloads, back off. I choose to browse with more confidence. I choose NordVPN.
To avoid digital threats, turn on NordVPN. It's trusted by millions of users. Just visit NordVPN.com. One of the fastest VPNs on Earth will block web trackers, malicious websites, and malware-ridden downloads. It will also encrypt your internet traffic while maintaining a smooth connection. So improve your digital privacy and protection against hackers with one simple click. Get the special deal at NordVPN.com and enjoy safer internet daily. NordVPN. Cybersecurity built for every day.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call 1-800-217-4380. That's 1-800-217-4380. Again, 1-800-217-4380.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I do overthink everything.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should just get fake plants.
It's the President's Day sale at Mattress Firm. Get a king bed for a queen price. Save up to $700 plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. See a lower price? We'll match it. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-51-BIBLE. That's 855-51-BIBLE. 855-51-BIBLE. Bible.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join the V Foundation team. 100% of donations fund game-changing cancer research. Donate now at V.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
You know, the White House has started calling illegal alien gang members released from prisons in Venezuela. They call them newcomers. They call them newcomers. Joe Biden has not mentioned the name Lake and Riley, whose funeral is today, 22-year-old nursing student murdered by an illegal alien from Venezuela that Joe Biden invited into the country. But President Trump has called her family. Joe Biden is not on our side, and his brain is dead. Other than that, he's, a perfectly typical Democrat president. Let's take a phone call, Jeff. Let's go to Jim, calling from Naperville, Illinois. Jim. Hey, well, we're having a technical problem. We're not going to be able to go there right now because we're having a technical difficulty, so give me a minute there. We're sorting things out. As I mentioned, Michael Piercy is out today, and we had a couple of other technical difficulties today as well. So my apologies, but we'll straighten that out. Lickety split, we'll straighten it out in no time at all. Yeah, remarkable stuff. The the wave of illegal aliens and the crime wave associated with it, and Nicolas Maduro emptying his prisons, and President Trump yesterday talking about prisons being emptied in Congo and prisoners from Congo coming across our southern border and so on. Remarkable stuff. Are you saying we're going to go? Well, we're almost out of time, but let's go. Let's go. I think Jim has a pretty quick point. Let's go to Jim calling from Naperville, Illinois. Jim, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Chris.
Jim.
100% of what? Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. 100% of illegal aliens have criminal records, and some are much lengthier than others. Many are much lengthier than others.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to address it. They have to be rejected at the border. You know, unlike that Cuban pilot who brought us a MiG-23 back in the early 90s, I think it was, and then flew back in a 310 to go get the rest of his family in a daring move. And that was a true asylum seeker, not what these people are, not these criminals today.
Well, you're 100% right. You escape a communist country, which the Democrats think are so wonderful, communist countries. And you bring us a MiG, that's helpful, too. That's appreciated. But you're right. And what you're saying is they cross our border illegally. That is a crime. That is against the law. So every illegal does have a criminal record. They begin by committing a crime.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. Big box store body shops to come to our area. They contract with as many insurance companies as possible. They provide discounts for these referrals. This allows the insurance company to dictate the parts and repair process to ensure the lowest cost of repairs as possible. This is not in your best interest for your expensive investments. At Coachmaster, we work for our customer, not the insurance company. We have no obligation to cut parts prices or use inferior parts. We follow strict manufacturer repair guidelines. It's your choice and your choice alone where you choose to have your vehicle repaired. Coachmaster was established in Reading in 1969 and doing quality repairs in Reading for over 55 years. Coachmaster has proven to be your best choice for collision repair. And yes, it is your choice. Our friendly service and quality repairs will have you referring all your friends and family. And remember, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tagger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
My own Tinderland,
So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, I'm Adam Ryan, presiding judge of the Shasta County Superior Court. The Superior Court is now accepting applications from those individuals that are interested in serving on the Shasta County Grand Jury. To apply or get more information, please visit our website at ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
The Grand Jury is one of the most important and interesting volunteer opportunities you can be part of. Applications are now being accepted. To apply or get more details, visit ShastaCountyGrandJury.org.
Please apply now.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The National Wild Turkey Federation's 25th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 9th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you would like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350. That's 530-526-8350. Or online at nwtf.org/event. Sponsored by Johnny Morris Bass Pro Shops, Cabela's, Benelli, Voigt Harness Company, La Crosse, Sportsman's Guide, and Tacticam.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Allow experience, quote, free of the white gaze. Free of the white gaze. They love abbreviations. How about GFY? Does GFY ring a bell? Because A London play is inviting an all-black identifying audience to two upcoming showings in a decision that the playwright has claimed is intended to open up the performance to groups that do not traditionally feel welcome in a theater setting. But like suicide bombers, self-immolators, who doesn't feel, you know, if you don't feel comfortable in a theater setting, don't go to the theater. This is Western civilization. You've got free will. In other circles, it would be illegal and racial discrimination. See, in other circles, it would be. A senior Tory member of parliament told the Daily Mail in the United Kingdom, I don't understand why this isn't. The Tories are the more conservative. The playwright, Jeremy O. Harris, told BBC Sounds, that's one of the BBC's suckling on the taxpayer teat, of course, that he was so excited. He's so excited. He just can't hide it. To open up ticket sales only to people who identify as black. Now, I think that means Rachel Dolezal could go, doesn't it? She identifies as black. She's whiter than me by a long shot, but she identifies as black because she's a Democrat. And they're apparently all mentally ill. It's an extraordinary thing. So anybody who identifies as black on July 17th and September 17th, kind of far apart, don't you think? Maybe it should be more black-friendly dates. What's with 17? Don't you know the racist history of the number 17? See, the report in the Daily Mail said just July 17 and September 17, those are the only, you know, black only you have to identify as black. It's a necessity to racially invite them, in with initiatives that say you're invited, specifically you. I don't feel invited. Whatever the play is, I don't want to see it, racist. How about that? And, you know, no white people should go see it. Only black people should, they should, like, the theater should be empty at all other times. Because they've mainstreamed anti-Semitism. Not just in the United States, but around the world. Did you see the attack at UC Berkeley? They invited an Israeli to speak to Jewish students at Berkeley who were feeling threatened. And a mob of hundreds of left-wing anti-Semites attacked the, what was going to be a speech, a session, a Q&A. And hundreds, and they smashed out the front door, the glass front door, and stormed the place like the Nazis that they are, like the little brown shirt, armband-wearing fascists that they are. And you know how they self-describe, Jeff? As liberals. They self-describe as liberals. It's true. They use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Just amazing stuff. So specifically you, you know, you can only come if you're black. I just don't... You know, but this is considered to be enlightened. It's the opposite of enlightened. It's considered to be liberalism. It's the opposite of liberalism. It's considered to be racial equity. It's the opposite of racial equity. It is dangerously divisive. It's psychotic. It is, I mean, they are the biggest racists at the dance. And they go around calling everybody else racist. And that's why they have to have black only. Like, look, these are the same people that have black only graduation from Harvard University, which until very recently had a president who was a devout anti-Semite, still is, and a plagiarist, but never mind that. And they have mainstreamed anti-Semitism in the United States in ways that I've never seen. I don't think anybody's ever seen in the United States of America. And they've mainstreamed racial division and racism just like they did when they were the Confederate States of America and they were lynching people for the color of their skin. You know, the Democrats. That's the true history of the Democrat Party. Boy, oh boy. It isn't the first time this has occurred. London Theater, according to a website about the Blackout Initiative begun by Harris after he wrote Slave Play. Slave Play. You know, the British inflicted slavery on North America. We did away with it. We started doing away with it in 1777 when we banned slavery in Vermont. I think it was Vermont, 1777, but never mind that. It is the purposeful creation of an environment in which an all-black identifying audience, which is slippery left-wing lunatic language, can experience and discuss an event in the performing arts, film, athletic, and cultural spaces. Free from the white gaze. Well, I know a lot of gay people go to the theater, but you know, why are you discriminating against white gays? Why is it just white gays that go to the theater? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's G-A-Z-E. It's G-A-Z-E. It's the white gays. Now I see. They're not worried about white gay people. They're worried about white people looking at them. That's it. Because, you know, they're racists. That's why. A concept birthed by slave playwright Jeremy O. Harris. The inaugural blackout night took place on September 18th, 2019. Why wasn't the 17th racist? Honestly, for the first time in history, all 804 seats of Broadway's Golden Theater were occupied by black identifying audience members like Rachel Dolezal in communion. It's a religious term, in communion. Celebration and recognition of Broadway's rich, diverse, and fraught history of black work. You know, join us here in the 21st century. All right? Come on, you guys, honestly, I was mocking this the other day on my show on Newsmax, television show on Newsmax, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. And I say, you know, these people love waking up in the 18th century or whenever it is they, wherever it is that they live in their paranoid, wretched little self-destructive existences. I said, every now and then I wake up and I'm living in the Roman Empire. I love the Roman Empire. And so if I'm going to do time travel, why would I go to the, you know, the 18th century? I think I'm going to go to Roman times. That's probably better suited for me. That's what I think. But that's your Democrat Party. And that's in the, you know, it's and the guy did his thing and he's an American and they got it in London, bringing racial, Democrat Party racial division to London. Thanks very much. Just amazing stuff. Yes, sir. Your Democrat Party. Aren't they amazing? Also, the Fox News people today, Stephen A. Smith. You know Stephen A. Smith? He's pretty annoying. Stephen A. Smith scolds Joe Biden for pushing racial tropes after fried chicken dinner with a black family. Remember this? I talked about this here, too, well ahead of Stephen A. Smith. But he was on Stephen A. Smith on Sean Hannity last night. And President Biden did go because he's, you know, bringing racial unity everywhere he goes. And the White House set up a meeting going over to the home of a black family, and he brought fried chicken for everybody. And that's fine because he's a Democrat, and they're just the party of, you know, everything bad. Everything bad, all the racial stuff, because Democrats. And they get away with it because our news media is so corrupt. If any Republican did any of this, they would be crucified, burned at the stake. They would be murdered quickly. Absolutely crazy. But, you know, you're Democrats. They've got to, they live by a different standard. Two parties, two standards, no waiting, no waiting. And they got commies everywhere. Honestly, when Ilhan Omar, and these, oh, yeah, they got Rashida Tlaib. She's just a lunatic jihadi. But you've got Ilhan Omar, a lunatic member of the what do they call it? You got the Congressional Progressive Caucus and the squad, and Pramila Jayapal, radical extremist from the state of Washington. Democrats vote for these people, and they went to Cuba to suck up to communism. Well, yeah, I've got a little bit of audio for you. I'll share with you when we get to that stuff. But right now, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Matthew calling from Johns Island, South Carolina. Sounds very nice. Never been there. Matthew, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris.
Matthew.
I have my eyes closed, so I don't cast my white gaze upon you.
I appreciate that. It's a very profound sacrifice that you're making, and I am deeply appreciative.
Thank you. I stubbed my foot. However, I had a question. Why has nobody in Congress drafted legislation that says that any country that knowingly empties their prisons and sends them to the United States receives no more funding from our government?
Well, I would go even further than that, I think. I think any country that empties their prisons, Castro did this in Cuba in the 1980s. We got the movie Scarface out of it and the Cuban crime wave. But I would say that, and you're on to something here for sure, and some Republican should do something someday that would be really good for the country. and make a statement. And they, you know, they are politicians. They could even engage in politics. But a bill that says if you empty your prisons and send them to the United States, we will economically destroy you. We will choke you to death on the world stage. We will, and you know, Nicolas Maduro is not accepting flights or ships or anybody that we seek to deport back to Venezuela after he emptied his prisons. He is not accepting anybody deported from here. But you're absolutely right, Matthew. The Republicans should put up a bill saying that we will choke to death Venezuela economically. And Nicolas Maduro must be declared to be a, we should bring him to the International Criminal Court at The Hague and indict him on a whole range of charges. But Republicans don't seem to be very good at politics, do they, Matthew?
No, they don't. And, you know, the actual definition of sending somebody that you know to be dangerous, that is going to commit crimes, that are going there, is actually the definition of terrorism. And how should we treat countries that engage in terrorism against us?
I think Donald Trump might send in Delta Force to grab Nicolas Maduro and push him out of a plane with a parachute, of course, over The Hague. And he really should be on trial. You're absolutely right. I am really glad that you called in with this. I should have thought of this myself. Anytime I hear a brilliant thing like this, Matthew, I say, why didn't I think of that myself? I should have thought of that myself.
Well, but I just finished my taxes on the February 15th extension. So I just stroked the government a check. And I said, my money is going towards funding illegal immigration that are sending us criminals.
Wow, that is profound. We were working on taxes at our house yesterday too, and it's an ugly process, isn't it? And you're right. Look at what we're paying for when we pay our taxes this year, paying lots and lots of taxes. And what are we paying for? We're paying to fund radical extremist Democrat Party plans to destroy the United States of America by overwhelming us with illegal alien criminals from all over the world, by shipping them all over the country and into our schools, forcing kids out of schools so that so many illegal aliens can be put up there. Matthew, you just started something there. You are 100% right. And we've got hundreds of elected Republicans in Washington in the House and the Senate, and nobody has thought of this. Present a bill, and then the Democrats can all vote against it, right, and prove that they're not on our side. Matthew,
exactly.
Yeah. Matthew, thank you very much for the call. God bless. Have a great American weekend.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to GAWon'tWait.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
My life coach has a terrible life.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I use memes as a coping mechanism.
Ah! At Mattress Firm, we know the right mattress matters. While supplies last, save up to 50% on select Tempur-Adapt floor models. All with free and fast delivery. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Fellow Americans, former CIA officer Jason Hansen here. Market instability and soaring debt have put your retirement at risk. For protection, I recommend diversifying into physical gold from Advantage Gold, a five-star rated gold company I've used for years. Their customer service is unmatched. Call 800-741-GOLD now and say Jason Hansen sent you and get a free 2024 gold investing kit. Again, call 800-741-GOLD.
Keep your delicious Omaha Steaks faves on hand with the new Omaha Steaks subscription program. You choose what, when, and how often. Enroll today at omahasteaks.com/sizzle for an extra 10% off every subscription order, plus four free Omaha Steaks burgers on all recurring shipments. And with every third shipment, you get a free thank you gift valued at $19.99 or more. Subscribe to perfection today at omahasteaks.com/sizzle. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Imani wouldn't be here if it wasn't for St. Jude. Everything was perfect until that day when she was 5 weeks old.
So there was a fairly large and aggressive brain tumor, but St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us the ultimate gift in this world, which was hope restored.
And she's tumor-free now.
We came as two desperate parents, and they saved our daughter's life.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
You know, the left is so mental that, I like to say frequently, because it's true, they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Now, if you call in today, you're going to find Jane on the phones today. She's wearing a beret. And she passed along talking about this all-black audiences in London at the theater. And no, you have to identify as black, whatever the hell that means. But you come in, and they say, well, this is diversity. And as Jane correctly points out, an all-black audience is not diverse. It's the opposite of diverse. They use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Oh, this is in the name of diversity. We're going to have all white people in the name of diversity. See, that doesn't work. That would be racist. But if you have all black people and say it's in the name of diversity, and you're a leftist, then that makes sense to your broken, addled brain. Just extraordinary. So you've got all black, and that's diverse. All Hispanic, that's diverse. All white is racist. They're mental. They really are. Just extraordinary. And Seton Motley. Seton said, I mentioned the Hamilton, the play Hamilton, which I have not seen and don't intend to see. and it's an absurdity. But you know, the Google AI, where you ask for like a picture of a shoplifter and they show you white women who look like they make $500,000 a year and they got $300 haircuts, you know, and they're shoplifting, right? And you ask for anything crime and it's white people, crime related, and it's white people only, Google AI. And then you ask to see a family. Show me a picture of a family. And it's, you know, the Huxtables or whatever. It's just not really the Huxtables, but it's because, you know, prison and all that stuff. But, you know, drugging and raping. But setting that aside. And they, you know, because they racialize their Google AI because lefties in California run it, right? But Sheen said, you know, I think Google AI was in charge of casting for the play Hamilton. They said, hey, we're doing a play about the founding fathers of the United States of America. Let's ask Google AI what they would do. And that's how they had the cast of Hamilton come forward, right? Because that's Google AI. They racialize everything because they're, what is the word, Jeff? Racists, because they're racists. They love to go around yelling about racism. They are really the only racists, certainly the leading racists in the discussion, and they call themselves liberals. Extraordinary, extraordinary stuff. All right, we've got President Trump's trip to the border yesterday and Joe Biden's trip to the border and a couple of Democrat members of the House who are apparently communists, communist-loving communists, and their communist trip to communist Cuba.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.